I love you guys.
Thank you.
We love you too, Kim.
All right. So all right.
You know I love
you.
You
want to do introductions?
I left Mass Effect tonight to come and talk to you guys.
I know.
Yay.
Wow. That's love.
That I started a new playthrough of the first game.
All the way back.
And you know what I noticed? I think Cerberus gave me a boob job.
Okay.
Well, wait, did you say that Cerberus gave you a boob job?
Well, that's a way to lead into the weekend, Justice.
I'm married to a doctor, so now I can refer to myself as Dr. and Mr. Cerberus.
Cerberus, not Cerberus.
That's better than Dr. Giggles.
Oh, dear.
You want to shock everyone, Widge, and start with introductions?
Yeah, we've actually been here for 6 hours.
Actually have the music start at the very beginning of the podcast.
That would
everyone
be very
would be
shocking.
Like, oh, crap, I missed part of it. Go back.
I didn't download all of it.
It doesn't go
what's
back
wrong with
further.
The podcast? I missed the first half.
There'll be like 4 comments. Yeah, there's something wrong with
no, the podcast is going to be introductions and then thanks. Have a good night.
Recommendations. Right.
We do the entire show backwards. We start with recommendations.
What number is this, Widge? Is this 199?
I think this is 199.
No, I think we should start with Kim's coda.
Well,
I
go back to
gave me a boob job.
I go back to my original comment. We should have switched it up so we wound up with 200 at DragonCon.
DragonCon, yeah. We still could.
Yeah, but that we'd have to take a whole month off.
Well, or we could just go 199B. Why not?
Then there's all the lost episodes.
Oh, wait, we can make the thing the Weekend Justice 200th anniversary of the, 200th anniversary.
You could actually release all of this from DragonCon.
Well, I know, I just have to edit the damn thing. Now,
actually,
you know what we could do is
I'm saving you. Aaron's doing it right now.
Oh, thank fuck.
I finally sent him the right format for the video, and he said he'll take care of it.
Oh, okay, awesome. But what we could do is we could do the Marvel trick and we could renumber, like starting with like volume 2, number 1. And then when it's time for DragonCon, we just go back to the old numbering.
We could call it Weekend.
That's what I did with the Unique Geek. I never actually.
What you're saying is make the next one Marvel Now.
Weekend Justice Now.
The Uncanny Weekend Justice. And then we could like change them all the titles. Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Justice Factor?
I don't know.
That's true. We could have it would be
the podcast has started, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. Extreme Weekend Justice. We could do Extreme Weekend Justice, and then we could do West Coast Weekend Justice, and then we could do Weekend Justice International. And then we could
Weekend
do
Weekend Justice Babies.
NASCAR edition.
The Great Lakes Weekend Justice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be good.
Deep South Weekend Justice.
The Astonishing Weekend Justice.
Weekend Justice is always astonishing, Witch.
Yes, I know, but, you know, you just throw that adjective on there and it's good.
Oh, we need that McMurdo Station one, too.
Hey, I got a cousin that works there half the year.
Oh, really? That's cool.
What does he do the other half? I actually want to know what he does the other half.
He works in Alaska, actually.
Not much for heat, your cousin.
Just randomly in Alaska?
Well, he works Alaska in the summertime in the northern hemisphere, and he works in McMurdo in the summertime in the southern hemisphere. So, always very mild.
By mild, you mean 30 degrees.
Right. Mild for Minneapolis.
Now, were you surprised to hear they found one of the Nazis out there in Minneapolis?
No, there's a lot of Germans out there.
What? Like one of the old ones?
Yes,
one of the
like Nazi generals they found living in Minnesota. Oh,
I thought they were all in like Paraguay.
Sure wasn't Prince.
Well, that's why they didn't find him right away, because they thought for sure, you know, I mean, I guess maybe he was paying penance to himself, I guess.
You know, if Coachella
I think I saw Law and Order like that one Nazis time. Reunions.
What was that?
Huh?
Huh? Kim, what?
I said, I think I saw a Law and Order like that one time. Except it was in New York because Law and Order.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're always finding a Nazi somewhere.
I know, they're so, like, if you believe Law and Order, like, half the population of New York is either Holocaust survivors or Nazis. Like, there's so many of them on that show.
Now, this is looking in the wrong places, I guess.
Now, wait, this is excluding all of the people who have been, you know, sexually abused on SVU, right?
Well, that's a different Law and Order.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if we were counting those.
Ooh, I wonder if Law and Order UK ever did that. Like, when they were adopting all the early Law and Order thing, did they do that too? Or did they find some other thing to do?
Why don't you ask Peter Davison? Say, Peter Davison, how come there aren't any more Law and Orders that you are in with Nazis in them?
I wouldn't do that. I don't know. I have special feelings about Peter Davison, because when he was on Doctor Who, he looked like my dad in the 70s. So it makes me feel kind of weird.
That's okay. At least you didn't say, oh, we got Peter Davison. I wish you would have got his son-in-law when he was on the phone.
God, how crazy.
Yep.
I'm just looking at this thing. That's crazy.
The other crazy thing is the Richard III coffin with the lead lining.
The what?
Oh, yeah. They found Richard III.
No, no, sorry. I know that. They found him in a car park.
Yeah, when I was like, oh, yeah, a parking lot. It was like he was like a medieval Jimmy Hoffa.
Yeah.
No, he's in a car park.
And they found two, like a coffin within a coffin. So one was lined with lead, and then the other one was just a regular wood coffin. And I might be wrong, is there another body in one of the other coffins or not? That's what I don't remember.
But wait a minute. So they found him.
Yeah.
He wasn't in a coffin, though. He wasn't in a coffin. No, he wasn't in a coffin. Basically, Channel 4 did a documentary called The King in the Car Park. And it was hilarious because this was after basically Time Team was disbanded, and the Radio Times listed, Team special.
Michelle Brown, Tony, hold on. Here to take your letters from Drax.
Stop! Autoplay!
Right, bring your own letter.
Fucking hell.
God. Seriously, every webmaster who has autoplay on their website, just kill yourself.
Yeah, I don't. I basically just don't. I don't go to those sites.
Which could easily do that on Need Coffee, but he is a decent webmaster with a heart of gold. You wouldn't know it, but he is.
But my deal is this: I never want to do anything on my site that pisses me off on somebody else's.
That's generally a good rule.
And believe me, I fucking hate autoplay.
I know, right? It's awful.
Anyway,
At least we've gotten away from the dark ages of the internet where people had MIDI files all the time. Like, those are at least vanishing. I guess GeoCities died, so, you know, they were dying out naturally. But the MIDI files and the blink tags are at least receding into distant, terrible memory.
Well, no, Rob, that basically Tony Robinson was in an interview talking about how the Radio Times misidentified it as a Time Team special. And he was so pissed. He's like, how could we not be there for Richard III? What the fuck? But basically they got, I forget the actor, but some comedian was there doing a documentary. And you could tell it was because they really didn't think they were going to find him. And so this guy, this is like his first documentary, and they're finding Richard the fucking III.
And he's like, oh, holy shit, awesome. He's really in there.
Yeah, go. It's called The King in the Car Park. But what happened was they found it.
Oh, I got to find this.
Here's what's crazy. So I think it was the Richard III Society, and this woman who is like, I forget if she's like the head burrito of something. She's one of them. And who are basically like, Richard III wasn't a bad guy. He was painted as a monster by, you know, the victors always write the history books, right? So she had traced it down to, okay, he's probably buried in this car park, and they found a parking space which literally had an R spray painted on it. They dug there. The first place they dug, they found him. And no, seriously, it's the craziest fucking thing ever. And they actually, he wasn't in a coffin because of the way the body was situated, they didn't realize that it had been like twisted upward. And so they accidentally punched a hole in the skull because they didn't think there was supposed to be a skull there. So, yeah, it's a great documentary. Just for nothing else, because you can go, they totally didn't think this was going to happen.
So how much was the parking bill?
That's an excellent question.
Because, you know, I've tried to, and we've done this. You know how you park later at the mall and you go see a later film and you're hoping the paid parking people leave? Uh-huh. Before the film gets out, that sort of thing.
Well, you know, Richard took it to extremes.
Indeed.
Yes. But no, that's a great documentary. What? How did we get on Richard III?
Nazis being found in Minnesota.
Really? Oh, yeah. Do we really even need to ask questions like that anymore?
No. I wanted to back up because I thought we might have missed something.
Oh, we miss shit all the time.
I know, but I mean, worse than usual.
Oh, gotcha.
Especially since we're talking about, you know, Nazi hunting in Minneapolis.
No, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, lots of those, you know, Northern European folks settle there and they think it's quite mild because they're used to, you know, Swedish winters and shit.
It looks like the Alps.
Except it's flat as hell.
And, dreary. And there's
real dreary.
And there's no Swiss misses out there.
Actually, there's a lot of blonde people up there.
There's no hot chocolate? What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's what I was referring to, no hot chocolate. I don't know what I don't know what Sarah's thinking.
Okay. Weird.
No St. Pauli girls. No beer wenches.
I don't know. There's at least one wench up there.
Wow. No. Tonight on Weekend Justice, geography.
So, should we go to the audience for a question?
Oh, sure. Here's an audience question. So, Wolverine, who saw it?
I didn't see Wolverine. Is that out?
Yes.
I thought it was the Wolverine. Oh, look at John.
Oh, yeah. No, it's some Wolverine.
No, we saw Pacific.
Can we talk about Pacific Rim instead? Because we went to see that again instead of going to see Wolverine.
Nice.
That's right.
You weren't here last time to talk about Pacific Rim.
I know I wasn't.
And it's awesome.
So what? Pacific Rim, yes. Los Tuffley, what say you?
Pacific Rim?
Yes.
Pacific Rim.
Well, specifically.
Specifically a rim.
We really liked it both times, although I will say we saw it in 3D both times, and the second time was noticeably better than the first. So I don't know if it was a different type of 3D or a different theater, because both of those things were true, but it was a very noticeable difference in the quality.
I think we saw it once in real 3D, and then I think the other time when we went, we saw it here was Dolby.
The good time was Dolby 3D.
So there's a question that was arose, and it's been on it's not on Facebook, and it reminded me that I didn't even think about it because I liked the movie so much I didn't care that there was gaping plot holes. But
I didn't think they were.
Well,
gaping.
The question that somebody wrote,
maybe.
I think it was one of the webcomic series wrote, is like, how did he not know there was a sword? They're both in each other's minds. How did he not know that there was a sword? And the result was that she wanted to use a sword, so she kept it from him.
Well, I don't care, and yeah. B,
true, I don't either. It was awesome, yeah.
But I think the whole thing is, I mean, is it that you know everything that the other person knows?
Well, you can't know it all at the same time.
Right. So my question is it just that they create that sort of shared space into which they put memories that they can latch on to each other with, and thus active thoughts go there, but I don't know about everything.
Yeah. My take on that was that they put it in when they were upgrading the Jaeger, and so she knew about it and he didn't because it was a new thing.
No.
But why would that not have come up at any point?
No, but...
Well, when you think about it, though, they didn't have that much time to talk. Like, the whole thing went pretty quickly.
Yes. No, I agree. But you would think that maybe that would be something that they would, I don't know, share with each other in their minds.
Well, because you think about it, that was probably what they were going to get to the first time they got in the thing. And then everything went like, you know, Red Shoe Diaries crazy, and they didn't get a chance.
Red Shoe Diaries crazy? Wait, what Red Shoe Diaries are you watching?
Wait.
Red Shoe Diaries is fairly uncrazy.
Hang on, I'd like to go ahead and submit Red Shoe Diaries crazy next to Wallander Bleak. I think that's a great.
Yep. I'm gonna try and submit. What is the definition for that? I'm gonna try and submit to the Urban Dictionary right now. Red Shoes Diary crazy. Anyway,
I like it.
On a side note, I think that little girl was the best actress in the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she messed me up, man.
Del Toro is good at finding
ways of warping little kids' minds.
Oh yeah, pretty much. See, the thing, I've always appreciated Del Toro since eons ago when he came to Dragon Con to promote Mimic, and they showed it at the Plaza Theater in Atlanta, which, if you don't know it, is an old as hell movie.
Oh, God, it's horrible.
What?
I went to that. It was horrible.
Yeah, but it's a great place to watch a horror movie in.
Yeah, that's true.
We watched Creature from the Black Lagoon in 3D there. It was fucking perfect. So yeah, if you're going to watch Pacific Rim, don't go to the Plaza. But if you're going to watch something like Mimic, it's fucking great because you'll feel like you're in the sewers. But anyway, he did a Q&A afterwards, and in Mimic, spoilers, kids die. And somebody said, did you get a problem from the kids dying in the movie? He's like, no, I wanted to do that from the get-go. I'm like, I'm tired of all these horror movies where kids survive just because they're kids. Kill the kids. I was like, yes.
I mean, they're littler, weaker, and can't run as fast. It only makes sense.
Yeah. There you go. I'm surprised my robo-me hasn't jumped in. Anyway.
But anyway, I thought Pacific Rim was awesome. And one of the other things.
Wait, was it this you're looking for?
Just take it off and fuck me.
No, probably not.
No.
What?
Sorry.
Don't ask me. Keep going. Don't look back.
Everything in that movie had the most perfect name imaginable. Everything. Every character, every place had like the awesomest names. I really loved it. Also, I want to have Idris Elba saying "Welcome to the Shattered Dome" is like my ringtone or something, because it's perfect, basically. Also, there needs to be some sort of Pacific Rim Avengers crossover. That needs to happen.
How is that?
Somewhere.
That's probably been written.
Like, can you just picture like all the people who had been the same hero at some point would be the pairs of pilots?
Wait.
Like Tony and Rhodey would pilot Iron Man, and it would be like a thing.
Wait. I've got it. Kim, check this out. So basically, another portal opens, and guess who comes through? It's Fing Fang Foom.
Well, they already used him, didn't they?
Thank you, Tuffley.
Thank you.
You can explain it to her later. Anyway.
Is that another one of those 60s racist comic things that we 70s. All try to selectively forget happened?
No, it's a giant monster.
It's a giant monster.
You just think it's racist because it's a racist name.
Yeah, they didn't read it out on the news or anything.
Oh, give them a chance. Put them in, coach. They could do it.
Wow. Although, okay, so here's a totally serious question. Where did I find this picture? So I watched the Daily Show from last Thursday, where they had the soccer coach from Egypt, who used to be the soccer coach from the U.S. Does anybody know Bob Bradley? Does anyone know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to post this picture for the people at home, but I'm posting this in the chat right now. Tell me that this would not make a perfect Sinestro.
I agree.
Doesn't he just fucking look like Sinestro?
He's a pretty intense-looking guy.
Didn't they already cast Sinestro?
Yeah.
Did they what?
Didn't they already cast Sinestro? Doesn't he already exist?
Oh, he already exists. Well, that presumes that another movie's ever going to happen, John.
Which chat are we looking at? I don't see it.
The chat rocks.
If it's possible, I think
five of them.
Good lord. So she's popular. Okay, so
I like the one of Hawkeye riding a whale.
Of course you would. Now
that wasn't on Jon Stewart though.
That it would be great if it was. The whale was on
Stewart's Green Lantern.
Whale was on Jon Stewart. So
that's what he's been doing for 2 months.
I know. So question. Okay, so basically. The Wolverine made like zero money domestically, $120 million budget. And if not for foreign markets, it would be dead. I just think that's hilarious. And sadly here, I'll say this and then we can run away and talk about like, say, World's Finest. But I think it's sad that all I wanted was to watch Wolverine fight some ninjas. And I got 30 seconds of that. And then, Wolverine. Okay, Wolverine's the best there is at what he does, and apparently, what he does is getting shot by ninjas
and taking his shirt off.
Well, you know what? Okay, I will say this for Hugh Jackman, and it's the same thing that the guy who played Thor.
Hemsworth.
Chris Hemsworth.
Chris Hemsworth.
Yes.
Hemsworth.
Basically, I remember in the commentary that Kenneth Branagh did for the Thor Blu-ray, he said. So we're the scene where he comes down, he's shirtless. He's like, so we thought about you doing the shirtless. Is that okay? And he was like, oh, of course. I've been working really hard on this body. I want to show it off. So if you're Hugh Jackman and you've basically like, you know, gotten more and more cut with each movie, hell yes, take off your shirt. You have earned it. Well done. Applause. Well done.
Speaking of which.
I'm totally going to go see that movie where Thor plays an F1 driver.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
although, how would they fit that guy in an F1 car? Those things are teeny. It makes me wonder if they're doing some sort of Hobbit thing and they're all like actually a size and a half.
Oh, you mean trick for photography?
Yeah, because he's huge and those cars are real little.
I think they'll build a special car.
Like he has a special car that's half again bigger than the other.
I think so. I think that'll be it. Because if not, you're right. They're very small.
Well, That's true. He is 6'4", apparently.
By the way, let's go ahead and congratulate Ron Howard for getting women to watch a film about F1.
You know, nobody ever said the man don't know his craft.
Well, true. And let's congratulate him for being smart enough to go on Top Gear.
Yes.
I just want to point...
Can't get one by Opie Cunningham.
I just want to point out Chris Pratt, he was playing Star-Lord. Dude has decided to take himself into a whole new level with his ability to get in shape, because his whole gimmick was, you know, not necessarily being sort of the every guy. I don't know if anybody's seen any pictures of him.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Dude, he put himself out there. Of course, because he is a really funny dude. You know, he said that we tweeted that picture of him that went kind of viral. And he said he never felt like a bigger douchebag than the next day when he realized, you know, really,
yeah.
I'm kind of a douche for doing this. But no, he got himself in some shape for some Marvel underwear wearing.
Apparently, damn. But now, okay, so Wolverine and ninjas and the ninja pin cushion aside, So since Comic-Con has happened, since we last were here, apart from, like, Guardians of the Galaxy stuff, I mean, anyone have any reactions to anything that happened?
Not really.
It's just a Doctor Who trailer. Calm the fuck down. Sorry.
Tom Hiddleston likes to cosplay?
Now, that was great. Oh, my gosh.
That was... you have got to be so freaking committed to fly... I mean... That's a long-ass flight to be wearing a helmet.
Yeah.
Well, what I like was the fact that...
That just makes me heart him.
Well, it makes you what him?
Heart him.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Just checking.
I did the little motion, but you couldn't see.
I don't want to know about what motion you were doing.
Oh,
it's the one where you make a heart with your fingers.
Which, okay. Which didn't tell you this is a video podcast now?
Oh, God. No, I did like
I'll
the fact that he
Fagging
said...
I'll do it at Fagging Con and you can see it then.
Oh, good. I did like the fact that he said in the interview that that they took the hall after the X-Men panel. And basically he said, somebody said, oh yeah, so just leaving the stage are Ian McKellen, Patrick Stewart, Peter Dinklage, Holly Berry, basically, you know, Hugh Jackman, and taking the stage next is you, Solo. Good luck.
Well, he did
it. Was that the panel where McKellen was hitting on Fassbender?
Yes.
Okay,
I love that.
Although that is sort of weird, hitting on your younger self.
Well, is this is this the part where we talk about?
I thought that was pretty sexy when I was younger.
I saw that movie.
I would hit on me.
It was called Judas Kiss.
Mike, I told you.
Oh, what?
Okay. So we had this debate, right? So if you are in a science fiction universe of some kind and things happen so that you run into your parallel universe self,
yeah.
Assuming that your parallel universe self is not evil, what are you going to do?
Team up and fight crime?
Well, that too.
Drink Oktoberfest?
And fight crime?
Well,
why is it that I'm the only one who thinks that the correct answer is kinky sex adventures?
You know,
surely,
honestly, who knows me better than me? Who knows what I like more than I do?
Now,
you would know what you like.
Kim, that is just extended masturbation.
Yeah,
so
thanks, Kim.
I feel like it's cheating or anything, because it's you.
Kim, I feel like I would have less guilt after that.
Right.
Than I do after normal masturbation.
You mean
Kim has a point here? That, you know, that might be the one opportunity or the one time that I'd feel comfortable with a guy girl threesome.
See, the opportunity.
High fiving yourself.
I find this incredible.
Wow. Okay. Nazis in Minnesota.
Dude, bro, dude.
That's right. So about those Nazis in Minnesota.
Let's go back to something less controversial.
Yeah. Let's go back to the number of Holocaust survivors in New York City. Wow.
I'm the only person who thinks about these things.
Oh, I am constantly.
Have contingency plans, right?
Kim, hang on. Kim, you were until about 2 minutes ago.
Thanks,
now,
Kim.
Now we're spreading it around the world via the podcast. It's basically the crazy sci-fi alternate universe pervy version of Don't Think of a Blue Elephant. Dear listeners, don't think of having sex with yourself. Don't think of having sex with yourself.
Forget about Night of a Thousand Fist Bumps. I want to document something else.
You want
to that's a parallel universe now, it's according different. To that, where Night of a Thousand Fist Bumps would be a totally different thing.
I was going
to
say,
John,
it's still
John,
called Night of a Thousand Fist Bumps, but...
John,
I think R. Kelly did a song about that.
John.
Hang on.
John, would this be called Night of a Thousand Ugly Bumps?
Oh, yeah.
A thousand knuckle shuffles?
Whoa.
Pickle tickle.
See, if it's me, it's not gay, right? Is that how that works?
I think so, yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I still think you want to add at least one female in there, John.
Just so
can it be
not
a third?
Perfect.
Can it be a third me in a wig?
It's an opportunity to spice up your sex life with your significant other and yourself.
It'd
your alternate
like
self.
John, he's my best friend by Jellyfish. Go.
Except I would always think that she likes him better than me.
Yeah, wow.
That's okay.
Well, you know,
assuming
that your alternate universe self isn't like considerably hotter than you, because then that would be weird.
Well, the goatee would just throw everybody off.
Thanks, John. Your other self would think it's like you better.
But then what if your other self and your wife, you know, conspire to have you killed, and your other self takes your place in this universe?
Well, no, because it's going to be temporary. Because, you know, the whatever science techno babble stuff is going to have to revert eventually.
Well,
so you just have a couple of days of an interlude. You know, take some time off of work and explore the possibilities.
There is some weird fanfic currently bubbling into existence in some area.
Wow. All I have to say is I'm glad no one's in a machine with you in, you know, Pacific Rim, because nothing would get done if they were inside your mind.
By the way, drifting,
well done. Well done,
distraction, Jaeger.
By the way,
respectfully,
Drift,
Kim.
By the way, Drift compatible, that is such a chat up line.
Yeah, I can see Kim going to the Avengers 2 junket. Okay, Jeremy Renter, you're my Drift companion. Shut up and come with me.
Literally.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'll make you quiver.
Was that a Hawkeye reference?
No, of course yes. not. Kim was too struck by it, otherwise she would have made some noise.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, the recent run of Hawkeye has been fantastic.
Still?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
By the way, I've already put a bug in the ear of our friend to get Fraction and Kelly Sue for his endeavor.
What?
They're amazing. I have such a platonic sort of them.
Sort of code.
Right.
Like, you know the one where you just kind of want to sit around and talk to the person? Because you think they'd be so cool.
No.
No, what? That ended talking when I met Dr. Ourselves? Demento.
Are we still talking about ourselves again?
No. Oh, interesting. No, we've moved on from that.
God. Yeah, but you were amazingly quiet throughout all of that.
Well, Rox was just remembering how... Well, she's had all of her alternate selves killed.
Yeah.
Rox, how did only you do be that? One. You're leaving all those other universes Roxless. Who knows the terrible consequences that may result?
Because, you know, I believe in that whole, let's see, Stephen King had what? The Compassman. Where there's only one who could jump into any world.
No, I
that's
think it's Highlander.
No, Stephen King had it too. So there are people that are multiple, but then there are those singular people. I'm one of them.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Well, there couldn't really be more than one, could there?
God, no. Do you want more of me? No.
Well, your alternative.
Although Rox, just imagine the wacky adventures that the parallel universe us would probably get into.
Oh, this is true.
We'd probably be cops.
Yes. Oh, my God. Can you picture us as cops?
Your entire life would be a
Rob and I.
And Lee would be like our tough as nails commander who sat on a phone book.
Oh my God, yeah, she'd be our LT. Yeah.
So yeah, I could see you guys. It'd be like cop and a half.
Yeah. Oh.
The sad thing is this is already better than our IPD.
Yeah.
Well, that's not saying much.
Yeah.
So I suppose in an alternate universe, would this show be concise and like an hour long?
Yes, it would.
This show is a
this show is one of those 10-minute daily podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
And Tuffley?
Okay.
It's like Reader's Tuffley? Almanac.
Yes.
The soundboard would be all about classical music and stuff.
Oh my God, we would run it either as like the BBC or WQXR in New York. We all have to have subdued tones. And the time now is 8:45. Coming up on the new hour. Alternative sex with
Kim
yourself.
Would be like, Kim would be the parallel universe Diane Rehm. So, George Clooney, have you ever wanted to have sex with yourself in a parallel universe?
I think the answer to that is pretty obviously yes.
Yeah, probably.
What makes you think he hasn't answered that question?
I mean, you know that man looks in the mirror and's like,
Damn, I'm fine. Yes.
John, go find the line from, what's the movie with Hannibal Lecter? When Buffalo Bill's put on the human suit.
I fuck me. Oh, Jesus.
Clooney goes by an old ER episode. Wow. Oh, yeah, that guy. I've had him.
So, can I... Can I just share with Rob one thing that the thing that now makes me not excited about X-Men Days of Future Past?
I need to get some
Among the many things that don't excite you about X-Men Days of Future Past?
No, but here's
the
thing.
The fact that there's 20 million people, there's no possible way you can actually have a storyline that makes any sense and anyone have any screen time?
I really enjoyed First Class. I love the idea of Peter Dinklage being in it. However, spoilers for anyone who hasn't seen The Wolverine, skip ahead a minute. He's gonna have fucking bone claws in Days of Future Past! Mm-hmm. I fucking hate bone claws!
I do too. But why would he have bone claws? I thought that the only thing in that movie they do is undo his healing factor. That wouldn't change the fact that he had metal in his skeleton, would it?
Let's just say that he loses his claws.
Oh dear. Yeah. So my favorite.
Claws that he lost. It's his adamantium that he lost.
No. He lost his claws.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So.
I also am looking more forward to the X-Men, the younger X-Men sequels. But again, spoiler: the whole bit where you see fucking Magneto in the airport, he's actually like Magneto's actually chilling and scary again.
Yeah, that was nice.
Thank you.
You know what's funny? I thought we were going to see Dinklage as Trask in some form or fashion, but we did see the Trask commercial on the screen, so there's that.
Yes.
And you saw where apparently just today they've confirmed Sentinels.
Oh yeah.
Well, you can't have the future state without showing some Sentinels, right?
No,
and kind of already showed you some Sentinels in wasn't it X-Men 2 at the very beginning?
Well,
you have.
No,
I've blocked that movie out of my memory completely.
You have Ultron without Pym. Why can't you have a future without Sentinels?
I mean, I vaguely remember that, like, Peter Wingfield was in it, because I like him. So I remember, like, the 5 minutes he was in, and then that's all.
I don't remember.
Could have been worse.
He was,
Paul
like,
Winfield
the second baddie guard or something. It wasn't a big role.
But, no, it makes me fucking crazy. Although,
which you're right. I don't like the bone claws either.
That's so stupid.
You know, it sounds like you're talking about some kind of band.
Yeah, that's right. They're a black metal deathcore band from Finland. But now here's what I find amusing. You guys saw the World's Finest announcement, right? Quote unquote World's Finest.
Yeah, I'll believe that when it actually, you know, is on DVD.
Well, like I said, I find it amusing that, first of all, when Harry Lennox was reading from Dark Knight, I just wanted him to keep reading. I was really upset that they cut to the image. I'm like, no. He's got a great reading voice. Read some more. Read something else. I don't care. Read anything. But, you know, I'm with you, Tuffley. This isn't the first time they've tried this. But I find it really amusing that this to me says they are not confident about Man of Steel as a franchise because they don't think it can stand on its own. Because if they did, it would.
Well, they know they can't. Because they, the film. But.
Well, now, how much money has it made? Let me see. Let's see. So, production budget of $225 million, which means if we assume another $50 million for marketing, it's just now made its money back. Domestically. Yeah. But worldwide, it's done $643 million.
So, the question is, and I don't pretend to understand any of Warner's manipulations on this.
Although
it's the interesting question is because Legendary and Warner's aren't working together anymore.
Yep, they've gotten divorced.
Which I think has something to do with Pacific Rim 2. But who's going to handle those movies? Because Legendary was handling all the DC films.
No idea.
Oh, I'm sure they'll think of something.
Where did they end up, Tuffley? They found a new home, right?
I think it was Lionsgate, wasn't it Lionsgate?
Universal. So. No, Universal.
Okay.
Oh, I know what came out of Comic-Con that was really awesome.
Yeah.
It's the new reboot of Cosmos. Did you guys catch that trailer?
I've not seen the trailer, but I'm
really? What? You don't think so, Rob? I mean, there's all right. Here's the thing. Yes, it's a reboot. However, there is more. There's new science.
And Neil deGrasse Tyson is pretty awesome.
Yeah, awesome. Sagan taught like not too far from Binghamton, so I have an affinity for Carl Sagan. However,
However, if you see the trailer, it is fucking amazing.
Rox, have you seen that thing where they did like auto-tune songs from Cosmos?
Yes!
I love those. They make me cry. I get like all teary-eyed about the wonder of the universe.
Wonder of the universe. When you start with an apple pie. Yes.
I love it.
Rox, I will say it.
It's so poetic.
The trailer, it looks a lot better than I would give Seth MacFarlane credit for.
Well, yeah. The thing is, that guy loves science.
Yeah.
I will give that. I mean, he's the one that actually went to Anne, Sagan's widow, and said, look, I have the money. We could archive your husband's work. That's a big deal, you know, but it's kind of weird. It's going to be on Fox, but I mean, we have new stuff. You know, there's new science. So that's the way I see it. Well, yeah, some of it's like word for word, you know, some of the scenes I remember and everything. But go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say, and Tyson, I don't think he would be involved with it if it was shit.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah. All right, Rob, why do you have a problem with it?
Have you ever met Neil Tyson deGrasse?
No.
Oh. Why?
Well,
have you?
It's the green M&Ms in the dressing room syndrome. It's just sometimes you don't want to meet people you like. That's just how it is.
You met a green M&M in his dressing room?
That's what I was trying to deconstruct.
I'm trying to politely say sometimes you look forward to meet people and they're not the nicest people in the world. That's all I'm saying.
Well, this is true. People are amazed when they meet me. I'm actually nice. So just saying.
But that was the alternate universe.
It is pretty ambitious though to try to bring back Cosmos.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that there's an audience for it based on the fact that you've got the people involved doing it. But I'm woefully afraid that, you know, it's going to go by the way of like when Brian Greene did his specials that nobody cares.
I understand that, but as somebody that loved Cosmos, I'm like, ooh, I was
Brian Greene. He's the cute one, right? Well, the one who looks kind of like he ought to be in a band.
Who? Brian Cox.
Oh, sorry.
That's Brian Cox.
It's Brian Cox.
Wait, you know what it is? If you could somehow get Cosmos and then have it be about World War II and ghosts as well. Then it would, you'd have huge ratings.
Oh my God, yeah.
Well, no, then you'd have to.
No, but only if it was narrated by Duck Dynasty.
Or they're looking for gold as well. The Nazi gold. And they get that guy from Gold Rush. That big fat guy.
But the interesting thing about Cosmos, though, is that it sort of invented sort of like the rock star scientist kind of a concept. Yeah. I mean, I think Sagan is a little more gracious and a little more grounded than probably Tyson deGrasse is, but it's interesting that now all of a sudden every sort of generation since Sagan, they're sort of like the it go-to guy for science, you know, who's on TV. They're like the presenter that's like, this is going to be the face of like this particular science or this particular thing. And that's kind of cool that there's an interest in it, but at the same time, there's a lot of people that sort of aren't getting to sort of to follow the stuff that we did when we were kids. I mean, it's kind of a bummer that some of the cool science stuff we got to do in schools and stuff people don't do now, which is kind of a bummer. So
the thing I love about the original Cosmos is it was so well written. Like the language was so poetic and inspiring.
He wrote everything, which is great. And I think that's one of the other problems with the new Cosmos is that it's pre-scripted, but you know, it's a different time. But I think when you watch Cosmos, you know, if Carl Sagan had to stay till 5:30 at night to get it right, he did it. And it was him. It was his writing. It was his voice. The whole show was pretty much him. He pretty much willed it into existence.
And you have these lines like a morning filled with 400 billion suns. And you're just like, wow, you're right. That's really awesome.
Well, you know what we need? I think.
And no one can top that anymore. Yeah.
I think bringing up Brian Cox is a great thing because If you wanted to really get people interested, especially females interested in science, then and some males, you just have him host a bunch of specials on U.S. television, because He is apparently so pretty that it's just ridiculous.
Although I think the Brooker bit from Weekly Wipe where somebody was going through about it.
That was
the,
fun.
The yes. Nutter, Brian Cox being the Nutter on vacation.
Yes.
That was a
fun. Yes. Yes. If you need a chuckle, then look up Charlie Brooker Weekly Wipe on YouTube and watch the reinterpretations of television shows. The Africa one was my favorite, though.
Yeah.
There's no one there. There's no one living there.
Bye, sir.
And I've seen lots of films about Africa, and I thought I saw people there.
We've been sending all this aid money to Africa, but there's nobody there. They're just animals, and they've all gone insane. What broke me was they showed giraffes running, and he says, and these animals that look like deck chairs, if deck chairs could run. And you just go, what? So, yeah, that made me happy. So, God, what else? Now, I know I will say this. I am pleased that we've got another Wire veteran on Walking Dead for season 4. You guys caught that, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I don't know. That 4.5-minute trailer was pretty kicking. I sort of dug it. I don't know about you guys.
I hate to derail the conversation, but real quick,
Mitch,
I have a conundrum that I need you to help me with.
Okay. You're not recording.
I have. Well, there's that too, but that's expected. The I have 2 Oktoberfests left in my fridge.
Yeah.
So I'm debating whether I should drink it because then I only have one.
Yeah.
Or do I just drink one of the other beers that I have in my fridge? So I have 2 still.
I think you go give for
the 2 to Widge and drink the other one.
Well, no, I bought a case, so I'm good. But John, here's what I would say: considering that now
all the cases were sold out at my local brewery.
Really? Yeah. Wow!
I was at the 6-pack.
Well, now, but we are just at the end of July. There's plenty of time to get more. So I would say drink one.
I know, but then I can't drive.
Dude, they're giving away here. I can mail them down to you.
All right, I'll have another one. Okay, back to Walking Dead.
Okay, good. Anyway, no, I was happy with it. I dug it. I don't know about anybody else.
Apparently no one else cared.
No one gives a shit.
What?
Cue crickets.
I don't watch that show.
What?
What?
Even no, I watch that show.
It's probably for the best. It's scary.
You know what? Do what I do. You fast forward when it looks like it's going to get scary to the end of the scene, and then you go backwards.
Kim is actually allergic to all AMC Sunday night dramas.
Breaking Bad?
I'm not allergic to them. I only Mad Men when Tuffley fast forwards through all the boring parts and just show me the parts where somebody makes Don Draper look like he just got kicked in the nuts.
Yeah.
Because those are the parts I care about. Oh, and pauses on everybody's pretty dresses so I can appreciate them.
Now, Kim, it seems to me that it would be much easier just to find a Tumblr site to take care of that for you.
I know, I need one.
On Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi only.
Wi-Fi only.
Okay, what I don't understand is I thought Under the Dome was a summer thing and that was it. And it got renewed.
What?
For a second season.
Yes, please. What?
Well, okay, spoiler, hang on, spoilers for the Under the Dome finale. They tunnel out and wind up under another dome.
No, they find out it's really a sphere.
What? No, what happens is the next one's called Under the Boardwalk, and it's based on the song, and it's much less suspenseful.
Rox, I was with you. I thought it was only a summer thing, too.
I did, too. And I now just heard today, and I'm like, what? And so it's in media and advertising on the New York Times.
You know why? Because CBS has found a new formula, and therefore they're going to kill it to death.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I'm just really happy that Amy Acker is going to be a regular on Person of Interest next season. That made me really pleased.
Really?
Yeah, awesome. That's what I heard.
Yeah.
But guys, the second season is called Under the Dome, where someone gets pinned under a copy of Under the Dome, the book, and can't move it.
Wait,
I thought it was called Under the Sea, and they all run around, and it's a musical.
It's weird because I thought they were going to call it the original title, which is called The Simpsons Movie.
I know. Yeah.
Now, they did do that joke in Under the Dome, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know.
So, yeah, I find
not that.
That
exact
I was hoping it would
mentioned.
Be just done and over. So I've already stopped watching it.
I'm watching it still.
You mean like Twin Peaks was only supposed to be a miniseries? You mean like that?
So, you know, I remember when that show came on and everybody was all talking about it and it was supposed to be so cool and everything. And I, at one point after that had happened, was like, oh, I heard, I saw that like Fire Walk With Me or whatever the movie thing was called was coming on like, you know, cable.
Wait,
and I was
so
like,
you
oh,
watched
I heard,
Fire Walk With
I
Me?
I heard Twin Peaks is good. Let me watch this.
Wait,
that
now,
was a bad idea. Oh my God.
Now, to be fair, the soundtrack was great.
That was a bad idea.
Yeah, yeah. Fire Walk With Me. Yeah, don't. You shouldn't.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, have I been on since I saw Much Ado About Nothing to talk about how awesome it was?
Yes, it was.
Because it was so awesome.
Was it awesome, though?
Really, really awesome.
How did you feel about it, though?
I loved it. I loved it a lot.
So you liked it?
Describe its awesomeness.
I went to see it twice in a week, and I had to go to those nasty little theaters that only that you have to go to when you want to see an art movie that's in limited release that always kind of smell like mildew and or pee. But I didn't care because I got to see that movie and it was wonderful.
Wait a minute,
are you sure that wasn't a porn theater?
You go or porn houses to see art houses?
No,
they're just like old and you know kind of grody.
Really? Oh, ours is not like that.
I guess they don't make enough money with art. I guess they don't make enough money with the art films to like, you know,
it didn't come to the Midtown
or shampoo the carpets ever.
It was here for like 3 days.
Wow.
That's all wow. He had it for like 2 weeks around the permit.
It was so
we still got it.
It was like the theater we were in had a broken down ice machine in the corner.
Yeah.
Nice.
Wow.
But it didn't matter because the movie was magical. I loved it so much.
The guy in the trench coat didn't bother you at all.
What?
Nothing.
No.
Nice.
So, you know, the weird thing is most of the news I've ever seen out of Comic-Con were, oh, the guests who actually cosplay, you know, that were like walking, you know.
Yeah, walking the floor.
Patrick like Stewart, Matthew Smith, yeah.
Bryan Cranston, so yeah.
They have to pay for their people. They have to pay for their people to be there.
So Tuffley.
Yeah.
What do you think of this whole Doctor Who trailer thing?
Well, I think people should have gone to Comic-Con if they were that concerned about seeing it. I mean, honestly. You know, there actually literally used to be Comic-Con exclusives that we didn't get to see. So I'm completely fine with. And here's the thing. As far as the 50th anniversary goes, I don't want any spoilers. I'm good to go into this unspoiled.
Yeah, I generally prefer to just not see trailers and teasers and stuff like that. I like to just go into it cold. I like to try to forget it's happening until like the week it's going to happen. And then I go into it and it's all a beautiful surprise rather than I've squeezed all the joy out of it 3 months before it happens.
Yeah. And now I will say the Adventure in Space and Time trailer I would have liked seeing.
I think that is going to be better than the 50th anniversary special.
That I'm really, really, really interested in. And I think now I have not heard is BBC America actually airing the movie as well?
Yes. It's an interesting conundrum because if it's simulcast around the world, it stipulates in their contracts that it can't be commercially interrupted.
Okay.
So, but then Fathom Theaters,
though,
I think.
But...
Yeah, but I mean, BBC America can't blink without running a commercial. They're going to all have seizures. I think Fathom Theaters is going to put it in movie theaters around the country.
So this would be the 3D version.
Yeah, but I think they're going to show the 3D version, but I think they're also going to show Space and Time and then that. So you get a double package.
Oh,
what
yeah.
I'm hearing they're going to do. But I mean, I would much rather see the Adventure in Space and Time pilot, our trailer right now, than the Doctor Who trailer.
Oh, yeah, I would too.
Because right now, the best Doctor Who trailer is the one in my mind.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to watch the prequel video. I'm not even going to watch it.
Even if it's McGann?
I'm not going to watch it. I don't want to know.
Okay.
I'm like, although I love the fact that, you know, basically Moffat comes in and they ask him all these questions about the 50th anniversary. And he goes, you people do understand I've been lying my ass off for over a year about this whole thing, right? And everybody just sort of made, apparently like everyone made a face. He goes, you understand that people involved with the show have been lying their asses off for the past year. So now it's like, oh, wow, all bets are really off. This is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So suddenly all these little things you heard bits and pieces of 3 years, you know, 3 months ago are kind of interesting now. So, yeah, I want him to be able to pull off having the 50th anniversary special and no one knows what the fuck it is. I want that. That would be great. And it would bring sort of, I think, the fun back to watching TV series again. So, but as long as it's not craptacular. But I can't imagine with John Hurt in it that it won't be. So.
But it'll be fun and it'll be interesting. And here's the thing. We've still got till November, folks. So if you're really upset about not seeing this trailer, why?
Yeah.
You've got until November. Watch your DVDs.
The other thing that's interesting is that I think that somewhere in England, you know, some executive at the BBC is really wringing his hands going, really? They're that upset about this? Really? I don't think they saw it coming that this many people were upset that they didn't get to see it.
Well, I think you could go to the whole contention that, oh, you know, the television license fees went to pay for that. Well, actually, no. Because, you know, Worldwide could have cut the trailer and that's completely separate. But
yeah.
It's splitting hairs. It doesn't matter. Did they go to Dragon Con? Did they go to Comic-Con? No.
Yeah. And it got leaked anyway, so they don't need to worry about it.
Yeah. So.
Somebody somewhere has it. Yeah, you know, there's no way that thing is leak-proof.
Oh, well, so does anyone know if Gillian Anderson remembered any of the X-Files for Comic-Con? Anybody?
I don't think she remembers if she was dating David Duchovny or not, for crying out loud.
Well, there are some things you want to forget, actually, and that could have been one of them.
No, I just wonder if after Dragon Con, it's like, oh, we're doing Comic Con next. Let's watch the shows again so I know what I'm talking about.
Well, I'm sure Lee hit her so many times in the head out of sheer frustration that she's got amnesia now. So. When is a guest not a guest?
When they're a guest.
When they're from the future?
And they're over themselves having sex with their...
Ooh!
Now, Gillian Anderson from the pre-X-Files parallel universe came to Dragon Con last year, and that's why she didn't know any answers.
Oh, you might be onto something there.
Yeah. Or he just might be on something.
Yeah, she might be on something, too.
That too. Good Lord. So.
Hey, I'm unliking your picture of you at you in front of... the Oktoberfest, just so I can like it again.
Okay.
Unliked, liked again.
Yeah, sometimes
okay.
It's frustrating because you're like, I can't like this thing enough. I want there to be more liking.
Yeah.
If you had yourself from the future come back, they could like it more for you. Or they could lick it more for you, one or the other.
I'm sure
some
with the parallel universe self.
And leave a like as a guest, but not always.
Well, the problem, John, is two things. One, that moment when Widge saw all of that Oktoberfest is a fixed point in time that cannot be changed. That's the first problem.
Nice.
The second problem, though, is Widge solved that problem by going back in time and making it. So now he is also not only the consumer, but he is the creator. So there's a parallel universe Widge that makes it and ships it through the dimension for current Widge, thus keeping the fixed point in time intact.
And taxes are much less that way.
So this is the Oktoberfest singularity then.
Yes.
Thank you, Tuffley, for naming this episode.
I had a question. If you traveled back in time to your past self, could you marry yourself in certain states?
Only if you'd consumed a lot of Oktoberfest.
Because you know that's the next argument against it. Next thing you know, they're going to be marrying themselves.
If it ever runs out down there, I can tell you at least 30 places here where it's just sitting there, unloved.
Well, like I said, it's the end of July. We've got time. There is time to stockpile some Oktoberfest. And there's plenty of chances to mix it with things like, milkshakes.
By the way, summer ale, though. I do still appreciate summer ale.
I didn't like summer ale.
You didn't?
Summer ale, didn't love it. I don't know where that was going.
What?
Never mind.
Were you thinking Greece just then?
Sorry, that was my past self who just came back to the future self.
That was pretty terrible.
Yeah.
I think actually your future self is going to show up too late to warn you not to do that.
I will point out that, hey, don't do that. You're too late. That there is only 31 days until DragonCon.
Which is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all doomed.
It stinks.
We'll have fun, though, but it'll be doomed fun.
Yep.
Sure.
That's pretty much it.
Actually, Kim, you've given me a way out of an interesting dilemma. Thank you.
Wait, alternate sex with yourself? What?
No, the parallel universe thing.
How can I?
Since there are several occasions where I am in multiple places at the same time, I will just have my parallel universe self do those panels.
You figured,
I've been married for a while.
And then you can give your alternate universe self a nice reward.
No, that's okay.
Like some dinner.
And a happy ending.
Or a fruity drink.
And a happy ending.
Don't follow your alternate from a parallel universe into a second location, Kim.
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that, okay.
Well, I mean, you know how far you can trust yourself.
Well, but only you know.
I do appreciate this. I was trying to see if somehow a picture of Rocket Raccoon, who I fucking love, has been leaked yet, but no, apparently not an official one. But I did find someone had taken the concept art from the film and written over it the following. Dear DC Comics, Rocket Raccoon is going to be in a movie before Wonder Woman, The Flash, Martian Manhunter, Green Arrow, and Aquaman. Get your shit together.
Word. That's it. Like, I simultaneously really want them to do something with Wonder Woman, and I fear it because I fear that it's going to suck.
Yeah.
Like, the only thing worse than there being nothing with Wonder Woman is there being sucky stuff.
I know. Well, those jeggings didn't help.
Oh.
I was speaking with the girls over at Girls Gone Geek the other day, and we talked about how if you go to Target, you know how they're doing their whole DC Universe thing, but Wonder Woman is, like, nowhere to be found.
But see, here's the thing. If they really were committed, they would call themselves Human Target. Sorry.
Oh my god. This is so awful and obscure.
That's me in a nutshell, buddy. Awful and obscure. That's my new pull.
Is Human Target where the Nazis in Minnesota go?
Wow. Oh, too soon.
Too soon.
For the guy in Minnesota.
But see,
World War II is fine. The thing I really hope
that Guardians of the Galaxy is going to pave the way for Captain Marvel.
That would be nice.
Like Carol Captain Marvel. Carol Danvers is Captain Marvel. Because she's awesome.
Not Marvel.
And I think I would love to see her go into like Avengers, because in the comics she's so fun, especially with Captain America. Like they do all these fun little, you know, like they rag on each other and about like whose branch of the service is the better and who has the better rank. And they're like military bros kind of. And it's really a fun relationship. And I think they could have a lot of fun with it.
Which
she's awesome.
Which is all fairly new. So,
yeah. And because if you get the Guardians of the Galaxy, then you can bring like the space stuff in, and then you can get the Kree and the people who have Kree derived powers in, which opens up a lot of interesting doors.
Now,
but you still have Ultron. Here's
a question.
Yeah.
Is by any chance the Kree tied in with Fantastic Four?
No.
Okay. Just checking.
I think
that would kind of make sense, but
Well, see, the thing is, it depends on what did Fox sign for. I mean, they got, as we know that they got the Fantastic Four, we know they got Doom, and we know they got Galactus.
And Silver Surfer.
Outside of that, we don't know what Fox has.
The cartoon had Kree and Skrulls, so.
But animation rights are different.
Yeah, animation rights are different.
Or they can be.
And I think Disney has explained that the animation rights are separate from the film rights.
Actually, yeah. I guess, yeah, they have had Fantastic Four on the Avengers.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have. So, okay.
So, yeah, that's a good question. I wouldn't think so.
I wouldn't think so either.
Do it this way where they're all CGI and they go, oh, it's animation?
No.
They're Disney lawyers. They can do whatever they want.
Well, yeah, sort of. But
but they can't have an Avengers cartoon with Wolverine in it.
Well, they did.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and Spider-Man was it. Well, they own Spider-Man, but other cartoon, at least.
And the other thing, too, is they can cut a deal where it's like, that's what had been talked about for, oh, well, there could be a crossover between, at this point, Disney and, like, Sony or Fox if they just agree to it. I mean, it's what's hilarious is, you know, it used to be with the studio system that they would say, okay, well, we'll loan you Cary Grant if you'll loan us so-and-so. Now it's fictional characters that you could have that happening with. Oh, yeah. We'll loan you Galactus if you'll loan us. Oh, my God. But going back to Wonder Woman for a second, here's the problem with Wonder Woman. I've said this before. Figure out how to do her in the comics right first. Then maybe do a movie.
Well, they
I'm just saying
they do, and then they fire the writers that are doing it well.
Well, wait a minute. Here's the thing, though: you're holding DC to a standard that we don't hold Marvel to.
But,
because look at the comics.
No. But there has been more extended stretches of Marvel doing things right than DC with Wonder Woman. Because that is true. It doesn't.
Have a point.
I mean, John's right. It seems like that just when they sort of kind of figure out what they want to do with her, the creative team changes, and you're like, oh shit. So
yeah.
And now I'm not reading the New 52 at all.
No one is.
No, because it's terrible.
But apparently, she's just a side character now in the whole entire universe. Even though she has her own comic, she's still a side character in her own comic.
Oh fuck. See, that's I would like please give me that job. Please give me a way to figure out what to do with that character, or even, you know what, give me a 4-issue miniseries that's not even connected to the rest of the universe,
Superman, Batman,
the Wolverine, Hulk.
Yeah, well, no, because this would actually
generations?
No, not like Wolverine, Hulk, because this would actually come out. But yeah,
what,
not
like the burn thing where it was Superman and Batman.
No, because that was cool because it was basically they were aging in different generations and such. But I'm talking about more like Legends of the Dark Knight, where it was supposedly at the beginning, outside of continuity, it was just tell a Batman story.
Yeah.
So it'd be like, well, just retell the Wonder Woman story. Okay. Cool. I would love that.
It's funny, the my kids are watching Once Upon a Time now on Netflix, and we're desperate for summer entertainment. The boy
I haven't ever watched that, but I always have kind of a fond spot for it because the guy who does the voice of one of my favorite characters, Mass Effect, is in it. So I like want it to succeed for his sake.
Well, it is succeeding. It's doing well.
Well, I will say this: what the episodes I've seen of it, two things. Number one, they really want to be on cable. You can just feel it.
Oh yeah.
And number two, the problem with having somebody as awesome as Robert Carlyle on your show is that he is so fucking good that when he's not on the screen, the show suffers.
Yeah.
Well, but
there's the thing. It's like,
although I have to say,
sometimes
from what
your show overall is better if you have us like everyone at about the same level, as long as everyone's competent and workmanlike.
Oh, no,
sometimes it's better if they're all the same than if you have one person who is obviously like from a different league entirely.
Yeah. But let me just be clear. It's not that everyone else on the show sucks. It's not that. It's just that he is so fucking good. Every time he's on screen, you're like, holy shit, you're good.
Yeah.
Well, the point I was trying to make is the boy, in one of the scenes, the boy was reading Hulk versus Wolverine. I was like, oh, this is a fairy tale.
By the way, how I wonder, could they stick Marvel characters on that show?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they did in the form of a comic book that doesn't exist.
Well,
no, I mean, actually.
Toughly, they're eventually going to run out of Disney characters to stick in there, so yes, of course.
Apparently, the next season, because I saw a preview, it came out of Comic-Con, I guess, was Neverland.
Yes.
So.
And but they are Wonderland, Wonderland is spin-off.
As long as they don't go Kingdom Hearts and bring Sephiroth into it all.
Well.
Man, now I'm thinking about how much I hated Kingdom Hearts. Fucking goofy.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
It all comes back to Kingdom Hearts for you, dear, doesn't it?
Man, I hated that game.
So is Kingdom Hearts the romance version of Kingdom Come? Was it
No. Oh. Kingdom Hearts was like the Final Fantasy Disney characters crossing.
Yeah, you wanted it to work, and it
was just so bad.
What is your What is your guys' gut take on Infinity?
Well, I think it's really big, John, and I think it's sort of hard to get your brain around.
It's vast.
But I think Neil deGrasse Tyson will help you. Now, but John, I'll tell you one
thing. Disney's
Are
Infinity.
But when Infinity Incorporated, that was a great comic.
BioShock Infinite?
Infinity Incorporated. I-N-F-I-N-I-T-Y. What is that? Oh, Kids Incorporated?
Future John needs to stop letting you sing.
What is
stop present John, about
present,
Martico, okay?
Present John is for Oktoberfest into a six pack.
All of a sudden,
this is not a dream. You are receiving this podcast from the year 1999.
And we're going to party like it's 1999.
Nobody? No, never mind.
Okay. So
no, I'm sorry, I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know it, but you don't know
me
about
neither.
Disney's Infinity?
Welcome to Weekend Justice.
Maybe it's just because I have a 8-year-old son. Maybe that's why.
We don't have cable anymore, so we don't have the Disney Channel, so we don't ever even flip past commercials or stuff.
Well, Disney's Infinity is like Skylanders. You're familiar with Skylanders, right?
Vaguely, yeah. Yes. Isn't that the video game with the little things you have to buy?
Yeah, they're collectible like the action figures. Things. The collectible action figures that you put on top of this base, and they have powers.
Skylanders? Why not just call it like Water Flyers? I mean, how weird is that? Skylanders!
It's basically a way for one game to drain children's parents of money indefinitely.
At $13 a pop per kid.
Yeah, it's like Pokemon, but you have to actually buy a little toy for each one you collect.
Right.
Is my understanding
it
of
is.
Skylanders.
And with Disney takes it up another notch.
Oh,
and,
my.
And of course
oh
they
my.
Did. Oh, my. Of course they did. But where now not only do you... They have this toy box... environment that they call it, and you
and then
mix
they have
and max
cards, right?
Yeah, and then you have little cards that you collect. Now you're not guaranteed they're like the whole, you know, baseball cards or pogs
like
or
Magic
whatever.
The Gathering or whatever.
Exactly.
Oh my god, did you say pogs?
Yes, I said pogs.
Pogs.
Well, they look like pogs because they're like little discs that sit underneath your character for items that they carry, but they're, you know, you might wind up with 16 of the same one.
So
$4 a pop.
Action figure has an inventory?
Yes.
Damn.
Well, you can shift the inventory between different characters, and I guess you can have up to 3 characters online at a time.
They're like Barbie shoes, and you always lose the one you want.
So this is like, well, this is like an action.
Kim,
hold on. Here's
the
here's the best thing.
On your fingers, didn't you?
If you go to neatcoffee.com/Amazon and type in Disney Infinity,
at least buy it there.
Well, I did, in fact.
Oh, thank you. Bless you.
It's $80.
Holy shit!
Yes.
Wow.
Wait, what the fuck do you get for $80?
You get the game and a couple of characters. But anyway, here's what I wanted to show you. There's a product.
You know, you realize you could have just bought your kids Diablo 3 for a console, right?
Yes.
Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic has recently been released for iOS.
And you know what? I've tried playing it for free. It is horrible. Oh no, you're talking about the old game. Never mind. I'm talking about the online.
Not the Memorpga, the RPG.
So if you look there, they sell little they're selling little things to hold so that you don't lose them, like little pog holders.
So just so I understand this correctly, so this is like World of Warcraft meets HeroClix.
Essentially, yes, you're correct.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Oh, this was that thing. This was that thing that I saw the trailer in which Davy Jones was driving a Bigfoot.
Yes.
And yes. I went, what in the fuck am I looking at?
Davy Jones driving
Wait,
a Bigfoot?
Davy Jones from the Monkees?
Yes.
Yes.
And exactly. Also the one from Under the Ocean.
Wow.
It's like the Monkees crossed with Cthulhu.
And you know,
and here's here's their.
And you know, people say he monkeys around.
Here you
take
go.
Take the last train to Innsmouth, and I'll meet you at the state.
Here's the best one. Here, look at this one, which because this is going to be a hot seller.
Oh God, what is this?
Is this like when we discovered there was a Star Wars extended universe character named Master Kit Fisto?
Yeah.
Ah!
Because every kid wants to play.
Oh my God!
With the. This is how much they were banking on this. They literally thought
$4.99.
Hang on, dear listeners, what we're looking at is the Infinity non-incorporated Lone Ranger and Tonto
for $34.99.
But I don't understand. What do you get for $35? What do you get?
Look at the third picture down.
Okay.
Oh my God, that's terrible.
You'll see that there's a little play set. So you get this playset that then you have characters that are now you can play online on your console. So you set them on this disc and all of a sudden they appear in your console. And then you
so
take them off
like
and they go
DLC,
away.
So it's like DLC, but you have to buy a toy to get the DLC.
Oh my God, those are really bad sculpts.
Well it's a really bad movie.
Yeah.
So you don't get to kill any of these characters, do you?
Is this like the biggest attraction of Lego Star Wars was the fact that you could just kill Jar Jar over and over and over again as much as you wanted?
Now, what would be awesome, though, is if when you killed one of these characters, if the toy just sort of fell apart. like, you know those things that have the button in the bottom where you press it and they just sort of collapse and you let go and they come? Yeah, it's like that. They just collapse in a heap of body parts. That would be
Although, you know, I would like a some sort of Disney, some sort of quickening. Like when you kill them off, there's like the whole thing with the thunder and the lightning and all the glass shattering and shit.
Yeah, I that would be great.
There needs to be like an infinity quickening.
But so.
Thank you.
So. I
can't look at this anymore. It's bothering me.
I'm fucking stunned by this. So basically, it's $35 to get like a couple of characters so that you can then play them in the game.
Right. Here's a starter kit.
Is this actually going to work?
It works for Skylanders. I tell you, my son has spent all of his allowance on these things.
But how? I mean,
here's
a
starter kit.
Really fucking cool. All I can say is. It should, for that, see, $35, that's like three tickets to go see that piece of shit movie.
Well, I'm not saying that particular set is going to sell any very well. I imagine it will be on clearance pretty quickly after release. But then you can buy individual characters for $12 or $13.
So, John, here's the question. Is the Xbox One version going to be a completely different set of things you have to go buy?
Okay. So here's the beauty of Skylanders, and this particular thing is they actually are transferable across platforms. So you bring the character, the characters are the same across all platforms.
So what do you actually do in the game?
Is it like a beat 'em up or is it an adventure game?
I hope it's a beat 'em up.
In Skylanders,
like Marvel versus Capcom.
In Skylanders. yeah, it's more of an RPG type thing, but you know, hack and slash.
Yeah.
And in Infinity, supposedly, it's more of a, well, let's see. Do we have the video here? In 1 minute and 46 seconds, they can summarize it for you. Disney Heroes, blah, blah, blah. Usually, they had John Lasseter on the... hold on, let me see if I can find it without all the audio. John Lasseter talking about it, because this is like his brainchild. But basically, it's a bunch of worlds, and you just play in like a free-form type of world that they call a toy box. Yeah. And there's no particular mission.
Marvel versus Capcom was, you know, having Mega Man beating the shit out of Cable.
So wait a
minute. That was great.
They have little mini games and baseball. Like,
so it
like
looks
baseball.
Like it's basically, I mean, it looks like it's trying to be, I'm blanking on the name. Little Big Planet with Disney characters.
A little bit of that and a little bit of, you know, hey, I can get your kid to buy, to give us more money because they want to unlock this particular character. Right, yeah.
But wait a minute. So
and then you get the powers too that you have to buy. Which okay, so the best part is that you pay, you know, $6 or whatever for a $5 for an infinity pack, and it's random, so you don't know what's going to be in there. But there's only 16 things, so of course there's one going to be one rare item or whatever, or two rare items, and so your kids will want to keep buying them until they finally get the right one.
And it's got a collectible card game element in it as well.
Yes. Yeah.
How in the hell is there a Disney game where Mickey Mouse isn't a character? How is that possible?
That's a good question, because in Series 1, he's not available, right? It's all Jack Sparrow.
Yeah.
None
of the characters you would actually want.
It's all Pixar in live action.
Yeah. No three caballeros, which would be awesome because they'd have guns. You know, you don't have
or
the
walkie-talkies.
No great mouse detective. That would be awesome. But
oh,
so like,
yeah.
All the characters you'd actually want to play aren't in here.
Rescuers?
What? No.
Damn,
No Rare Rabbit? Oh, my God.
Song of the Sun. Wait. Oh, wait. Perhaps we've gone too far. Maybe there's a reason why Song of the South isn't being released in Infinity.
Yeah.
I want someone to hack that in. That'd be hilarious.
But yeah, so there's $5 thing.
That's the Grand Theft Auto mod version.
Okay. You know what? I would want to play Chernabog. Okay, I want Chernabog as a playable character. Make that happen, then come back and talk to me. Otherwise, you can fuck off. I'm just saying.
Somebody's outside.
So I hear there's going to be a BioShock Infinite DLC where you get to play as Elizabeth. That's exciting.
That is.
The queen?
The girl?
The girl, yeah.
It's supposedly the second part of the thing where you're playing in Rapture.
The thing, I tell you what, they did something really smart in that game. When you first get Elizabeth with you, and the first time somebody attacks you, it brings up a little pop-up screen that says, you don't have to protect Elizabeth in combat. She can take care of herself.
Okay, you know what
you
I want?
Go, girl.
In Disney Infinity, I want the Johnny Depp Mad Hatter as a playable character, and then I want the original Mad Hatter as a playable character, and then I want the original Mad Hatter to kick the living shit out of the Johnny Depp Mad Hatter. I'm just saying.
That sounds like a good idea.
Can we pencil in Tom Petty?
Oh. I think, you know what? I would just like to state for the record.
I think Winch just had a moment.
That Tom Petty should be a playable character in fucking everything.
Ooh, yeah.
I would agree with that.
Can you imagine Tom Petty being unlocked in like Mortal Kombat, where his finishing move is, if finish him and he says, don't come around here no more.
Yeah.
Or he slices you up and eats you as a cake.
Yes! That's the finishing move, Duffy. That is exactly it.
Oh my god, how is it I never knew of this? On Board Game Geek, there is a Dr. Faust board game where you play the devil and you're trying to control, yes, the soul of Dr. Faustus.
Wow.
Isn't that cool? That's a cool idea. I need to get this game.
Oh, you know what else was cool? I brought Pandemic to the beach and we actually won a game. Finally.
No way, really?
Yes. Just barely on the last possible turn. We were really excited. But now my brother says he can never play again because he doesn't want to sour the victory.
Well, that's okay, because 9 times out of 10, you won't.
Wow. Oh, by the way, speaking of
I have the wrong games, I have the wrong mouse in my hand.
Whoa.
It was my future self that came back in.
And what were you doing just then, John?
Nothing.
Well, go on and talk with your mouth full.
Yeah.
I thought I heard boob.
So
no Oktoberfest was harmed in that moment.
By the way, Widge, now I got a real conundrum because I am out of Oktoberfest and I have one left in the fridge, and what do I do with it?
Well, now you just save it until you get more. Drink something else. No, okay. Mr. Toad needs to be a playable character so he can run people over. That'd be great.
Yes. Yes.
By the way, did you see this thing where they're getting rid of the jail in Monopoly?
What?
Yeah.
Why? Because no one. Because no one.
Like,
go ahead.
Toughly first.
Is this like a work release program?
Nice.
No, basically, what are they going to put in there?
No, the latest version of the game is apparently supposed to be played in like, you know, as little as 30 minutes. And I'm like, you're completely missing the fucking point of Monopoly. Monopoly is an endurance sport.
It's never to be finished.
It's an endurance sport. I mean, you know, you just go and...
The real winner is the person who has the patience to not just get up and leave because they're bored.
It's like the fucking long walk. I mean, you just go until everyone drops.
Have I ever told you my Risk story?
No.
Is this a time when you didn't have a condom?
It was with my future self.
That's a different Holding Russia, Wedge.
Did you roll doubles?
So, no. When I was in, let's see, what would that be? I guess it was high school. I was going over to my friend's house, and he had a creepy dad, and he always wanted to play board games with all of us.
Oh God.
Okay.
In his underwear. But I didn't find that part weird. It was just kidding.
Wait, he put board games in his underwear and wanted you to play them?
Yes.
That's fucking awful.
And then one time, Boggle.
Well, might be a problem.
And then after
that, in Cleveland?
After that was sorry.
Wow.
Sorry. And then after that, John, you got a clue.
And then I was in trouble.
And then you went home with a headache.
Hey, but you know what, John? You know what?
What?
John, that's life.
I was waiting for that one.
Sorry.
I can't breathe. I'm seeing stars.
Hey, John, you better be careful. You're going to need an operation.
Oh my God, did he ask if he wanted to see a snake and ladder?
I was wanting to see if I could use Kinect 4, but you know.
I was thinking of that, but I couldn't figure out how to make it work.
It's some sort of human centipede. Oh my God.
Hey, well, John, he's just glad you didn't spill the beans.
Oh.
Because they'd be eaten by the hungry, hungry hippos.
or break the ice.
Yeah, but see, that was the thing. Is all these balls getting swallowed.
But what do you do with the cooties?
You build a mousetrap.
Oh, you put a salve on them.
That helps if they don't go Gnipkinup.
Okay, how come Lumiere is not a playable character? That's what I want to know. Flame powers, bitch. There you go.
And now I'm envisioning Lumiere with the voice of Johnny Storm. And demeanor.
Flame on.
There's a story I wanted to tell, but now never mind.
So anyway, John,
I cannot possibly live up to the other story that we wrote.
And with time, it was a matter of blowing on your cartridge to get it to work. Sorry.
I'm punching out of this.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
We've defeated the story.
I think it was less awkward when I was talking about my Mass Effect boob job.
Was this between games, or
yes.
How does this work?
I haven't played the first game in a while. So I was going back and I started a new playthrough because, you know, I felt like it. And I realized that my boobs are a lot smaller in the first game than they are in the second game. I think Cerberus did some touching up.
Yeah, but if he was touching up, you should report him.
Well,
like
there's so
I
many
never did.
About that that you need to report.
Well, there was corpse theft already, so, you know.
Yeah, okay. I mean, once they've stolen your body from an evil information broker in order to resurrect you with strange futuristic technologies, in order to send you on a near permanently fatal mission to rescue human colonies from terrifying and little-known aliens who want to abduct them wholesale.
Look, really, all I'm saying is this. Show me on the Disney Infinity overpriced playable toy where the bad man touched you.
But if you're going to buy through.
Wait, is Jiminy Cricket available?
Funny. Very funny. I see what you did there. Ha ha ha.
Oh, wait a minute.
Uh-oh.
How is Darkwing Duck not in this? Son of a bitch! I mean, come on!
Although, because it's marketed to 9-year-olds and not us.
Although, Widge, there on a almost separate subject, there is a DuckTales remake.
Is it live action? Is it a stage musical?
I think it's a remake of the Nintendo game.
Oh, that one. Oh,
yeah.
The Nintendo game. My God.
All of the DuckTales from the people. Terrible.
From the people that brought you Book of Mormon.
Actually, what is it? Jungle Book is in Chicago? I think it's actually gotten decent reviews.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Lion King was pretty good if you could ignore all the parts where they sang the songs from Lion King.
Sound of Life. Oh, that wasn't bad. Now, all the additional songs done by Lee Boehm were great.
Yeah, well, the thing about Lion King was I would be like, wow, look at the choreography and the puppets and the mask. This is really cool. And then they'd sing, like, the song about farting or whatever. And I was like, oh, wait, yeah, this is still the Lion King. I'm not excited anymore.
Now, Rox.
Yes.
You know who needs to be a character in Disney Infinity?
The Beast?
Well, no, even better than that. One that would excite you greatly.
Maleficent?
No, even
Mangala?
Even better than that for
Mangala.
You.
Is that what you said, Mangala?
No, Maleficent. Yeah, Mangala. We're circling back to Nazis.
Oh my God.
Walt Disney's Mangala.
Oh, God.
Brought to you by the people that wrote you Book of Mormon.
Rox, Professor Radigan. Voiced by?
Yeah.
Vincent Price. Hell yeah.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Oh, my God. Speaking of Nazis,
as you do.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Introductions.
I just watched an older Top Gear in which they revealed that Colditz is now a hotel.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
I want to stay there.
I want to stay there, but only if I can sleep in the room where they kept the glider.
Oh yeah, that'd be cool.
Yep.
So there's things going on. With stuff.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Introductions. We should do them.
So who are you people?
Well, all right, fine. We'll do some introductions.
Oh no, don't do them now. Don't do them for our sake.
Well, who should I do them for then?
For the little Disney children.
Figures.
All of those great listeners that we have.
Shere Khan. That's who I want to play.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The hell. All right, fine. Let's do introductions, and we'll do them starting.
Oh, and do it in your best Disney voice.
Ha ha, we'll do them starting now.
Oh, God.
She said best Disney voice.
Yeah, sorry.
Actually, that wasn't bad.
Weekend Justice. We're in the Hall of Weekend Justice with the Weekend Justice League. It's the number one. You've got totally screwed me up. I'm going to do it again.
We've seen you staggering out of the work week. But now it's time to buck up, little camper. The weekend is here. This is a needcoffee.com podcast, and we're going to help you the rest of the way home. Stand by for Weekend Justice.
I'm going to play the music too. Fuck you all. Weekend Justice, the number one audio internet train wreck thing podcast filled with Nazis and Disney characters. We're in the Hall of Weekend Justice where we've got our pogs, and I will endeavor to introduce the Weekend Justice League going from my right to your left. We have Kim, who's crying in the corner. Hello, Kim.
Hi.
Is it that bad, Kim? Is it really that bad?
It's so
Show
so
me
bad.
On the Disney Infinity character where Widge touched you.
How is Tigger not? Never mind. And we got Rob Levy's here. Hi, Rob.
Hi.
Hi, Rob. All right. Tuffley's here as well. Hi, Tuffley.
Hi.
Hi.
Sorry.
Oh, hey, you know what's great? Is it Pete's Dragon as a character, but you don't have to see him. Rox is here too. Hi, Rox.
But you know how much Disney sells that for? $55.
$60 for the Pete's Dragon playset.
It'll be their candle on the water.
Hey. That Helen Reddy. I don't like her. She was supposed to have come. I got tickets for her twice for two of her concerts. She bailed on one in Binghamton, and they redid it, and she bailed again. I don't like her.
Oh, she's as bad as Morrissey.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to bring up bad
it's
memory.
War. I'm not fucking kidding.
Well, you did, Kim.
Wow. That,
I'll never That's watch right. Pete's Dragon again.
That was my little brother's favorite movie for a while when he was a kid.
I'll have to bring
we had
it
to watch
up. I'll
so
have to beat
time.
It out next time.
I could sing all those damn songs probably even today.
Well, I'm not going to let you.
So actually, that should probably be $60, and you get the lighthouse, and you know they'll tell you you get Pete's Dragon.
Yeah.
You know, although you would get Roy DeTrace as a character, that would be cool. But,
yeah, there you go.
But so Rox, I think it's sad that
my love for him will always burn.
Helen Reddy and Lauryn Hill. I mean, they're just like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, and we also have John for the Geek. Hi, John.
That guy looks dirty. Yeah, he does.
Oh my God. Well, yes.
Are you really talking to your alternate universe self?
I always do, yeah. We have to compare notes. Just so we, you know, don't, you know, so when we cover, you know, our power amongst the universes, we don't overlap. So no one can escape.
Well, you want to make sure everyone's straight about the handoff.
This is true. Yes.
Well, the Rox is the Rox we all know is the Rox of Sector 2814. So
all I can say is it's a good thing I like you people.
I'm glad you're on our side. Seriously. So where are we? What's happening? We have playable Nazis in the Disney game. What's happening?
But you know what? In Wonder Woman, the TV show, all you have to do is throw Nazis into a pool or some water in it. They immobilize.
You know, actually, does with the purchase of Lucasfilm, they don't own the Indiana Jones characters, do they? Because you could literally have Nazis in this game.
They do, actually.
Wait a minute. So Tuffley, are you telling me that every time Nazis appear in a film, that Lucasfilm was getting royalties?
He invented them, didn't he?
I wouldn't imply that at all.
Every time I use my droid, Lucas gets right.
Every time an Android phone rings, Lucas gets some money. They could rewrite Miracle or whatever that. What is that?
That's not where I thought you were going with that. I thought you were going for Total Eclipse of the Heart. And I was just really, really hoping you weren't going there.
Sorry.
Yeah, but Tuffley, now you've gone there.
Yeah, but I didn't sing it. So
you know what? You know what? I think we should just take a moment. And the traumatized listeners should remove that from their brains by thinking about having sex with their alternate selves again, because frankly, that's less disturbing. But for whatever you do, don't think about having sex with your alternate self, and they have blue glowing eyes. Don't do that.
Are we going to give them a moment?
While Eclipse of the Heart is playing.
Oh my God!
Are we going to give them a moment or?
Oh, how about her new song? Didn't she win?
Who?
Oh, Bonnie Tyler.
Bonnie Tyler.
Or Eurovision.
Yeah.
Wait, Bonnie Tyler entered Eurovision?
Yeah.
Oh, you're just knocking them all off here, aren't you?
She won, too.
Wow. That's amazing.
How is it Caesar didn't win? Caesar, whatever.
The dog whisperer?
No. Oh, that really, what, contra tenor guy? I don't know. His name's Caesar, and he sings really high.
Bruce Jenner?
Wow. No. guys, her new album is called Rocks and Honey, but here's the thing. The second single is very prophetic. It's called This Is Gonna Hurt. That's almost as bad as the Riddick trailer where he goes, I've been here before, whatever it is. It basically is like, Vin Diesel admitting that, yeah, this is the same goddamn movie.
This Is Gonna Hurt is what I told my future self.
And that was also written by Jim Steinman. So there you go.
Well, apparently John is putting the key.
Unless I'm not mistaken, that's a sexual reference.
Paradise by the Beer Fridge Lights.
Ooh, yeah.
No, that's I Touch Myself. That's not... That's a totally different song.
Oh my God, I'm watching something interesting. It's on Hulu. Have you guys watched...
Because
you guys
it's
watched
more
the...
interesting than this.
Oh, it is. No, no, Spy. Have you guys watched that?
No. Oh, is it?
No.
It's called, British
it's called, yeah.
Yeah, the British show.
It's about a guy who inadvertently gets hired by MI5.
Oh, I'm thinking of the reality show. Never mind.
No, it's a, you know, half hour show. I like it. It's actually pretty good. You know, he's got this precocious child and, you know, he inadvertently gets hired at MI5, which is a total crazy place.
So are you talking about Inspector Gadget, the British version?
No. Okay. No. Mm-mm.
Oh, no.
It's called Spy. So.
Although, Rox, you know what I finally watched?
Hmm.
I watched Moonrise Kingdom.
Did you like it?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was wonderfully demented.
It's summer.
Come
it's
on, it's awesome.
Summer film.
No, it's wonderfully demented. It's got Bruce Willis playing against type, which I love it when he does that.
Yeah.
It had Edward Norton playing against self. I mean, he was perfect. And let me tell you, you don't want to know when the movie transcended for me? I'll tell you exactly when it happened.
Tilda Swinton.
No. Harvey Keitel's mustache.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. But yeah, it was great. It was not. It was a nice return to form for me for Wes Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Bruce Willis, would you rather watch The Wolverine or Red 2?
Oh.
Tomahawk.
Wow.
But Helen Mirren is in Red 2, so that automatically makes it better because Helen Mirren.
And technically Warren's made money off of it, so there you go.
Well, true. But at least Wolverine had Hugh Jackman being... It's like, what I want is eventually we're going to get enough Wolverine footage where some fan can put together an actual decent Wolverine film. That's what I'm hoping for.
That would be great.
Well, no, basically you take the Wolverine and you do the Chopped and Screwed remix where you just slow down the 20 seconds where he's fighting the ninjas.
Pretty much. That was so sad. It made me... I'm like, your badass action sequences are, you know, stumbling around and fighting Yakuza. So, but you're not even your full-on Wolverine self, and you're the best you are at what you do, and what you've decided is, I'm surrounded by fucking ninjas who are shooting me with arrows, and I'm gonna try to walk the 1 mile it takes to get to this fucking fortress where they're keeping my girlfriend who looks 15, and there's absolutely no plausible reason why I would have fallen in love with her. What a great idea! What a great fucking idea!
She's 15 and Asian, right? Oh, never mind. That was my future self calling.
Is that like 15 in dog years? It's just longer?
Whoa! That's racist. Why you gotta get all racist?
Need the ratings.
Oh, God.
Well, apparently it's the way you don't get voted out of a reality competition. So there you go.
I'm sure that's a reference to something very relevant.
Yes, it is.
Okay, good. I don't know the first thing about it.
Big Brother. But...
Oh, I see.
That is why you don't know.
Yep.
Yes, that is why you don't know. I don't watch the show, but I've read the whole thing about
it. But what I've seen, all of it, is...
I fucking hate shows like that, but having watched it, I was just passing through the room for hours, and...
It was on TiVo.
Well, my DVR picked it up, and I couldn't delete it without my DVR is messed up, so I have to like erase it as I watch it. And it knows if I leave the room, and it pauses it because I've got that Kinect hooked up to it, so it goes, "You're not fucking watching." You know, it's like fucking demon seed up in here.
The Kinect does like raise its head and look at you when you say its name. It can be kind of creepy.
No way, really?
Why are you saying Kinect's
like, and name? What was really funny is we were trying to watch the Bob. Xbox One video, and every time they said Xbox, our Kinect would try to like respond.
Pause the video.
Mothership, Mothership, I hear you.
Yeah.
Got you.
Yeah, and it does because if it wakes up, it looks for a person, and it has a little motor in it, so it'll actually go up and down, and it really looks like a robot head.
You know what? There's an entire game called Make It Across the Room Without It Waking Up and Finding You. You know what? That's practice for Skynet, people.
I, for one, welcome our new robot overlords.
I would be fine with a Kinect if it basically looked like the that snaking neck on top of the George Pal War of the Worlds death machines.
Oh, yeah.
What, you mean the nozzle from Venture Brothers?
The nozzle. That was genius. Oh, God. It hurts. It hurts in a great way.
Yes.
So, Nazis.
Are you going to recommend them?
So,
no, I'm going to recommend hunting Nazis. That's what I'm going to recommend.
I only had one. I wanted more. Hey, now.
Don't dream it.
More than one?
What? More than one Nazi.
Ah.
I don't want any Nazis.
Well, you know what it is? It's like that. Basically, the Ark of the Covenant said they were like Lay's potato chips. No one can eat just one.
Ew. Oh.
That's right. I went there. I compared Nazis to chips.
How dare you, sir? Of all the things we've heard tonight, that is the most offensive.
That's the most offensive, but sleeping with your alternate version of you isn't.
That's not offensive.
That's just natural.
Beating a Nazi?
So, well, it is in fact you.
Do you guys keep having to take my perfectly natural exploration of the possibilities of super science into this terrible Nazi place?
Because it's the internet. That's where this
it could have been
lives.
Worse. It could have been on the History Channel.
It probably has been on the History Channel.
Yeah, then you would have had Nazi ghosts. Nazi ghosts.
Followed by the Bible.
With Nazi ghosts.
Nazi ghosts.
Yeah.
And then you know what, Widge? That would have been followed by an all-new episode of Top Gear USA.
And now on Nazi Bible ghosts, we will try to determine how many cubits tall is Mengele. Stay tuned.
Oh, that's simple. He was at least 5'8".
But what is that in cubits?
I can tell you what it is in cuberts.
1.4 inches. One, whatever.
What? Actually, I want to hear what his answer is. How many cuberts was it?
We need to wait.
5 times 12 is 60.
Yes, but Rock.
68?
He was 1.14, but take one kadam back for the sun god. Never mind.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was a fail.
I worked hard for that one.
I'm really sad Doc isn't here because I want to talk about Mass Effect DLC and nobody here plays it but me.
Wait a minute, is DLC another word for boob job? Because otherwise I'm lost.
No.
Oh.
DLC is downloadable content. It's add-ons for the game that's released subsequent to the game's release that you can buy separately and play.
It's a digital version of TLC, the hip-hop group.
It's a digital
version. It's not about chasing waterfalls, Widge.
It's digital version.
Don't go chasing waterfalls, Widge. Or Nazis.
It's digital.
What about Nazi waterfalls?
Oh, okay. You can do that. It's fine.
You know what? I've actually been playing Assassin's Creed 2 because it was free.
Assassin's Creed 2 was really good.
And it's free.
Yes.
It's free now.
Free. Yes. You have a gold membership.
Well, hang on. Is this the game where you try and assassinate the band Creed? Because that would be cool.
That would probably sell
if they did an add-on.
Well, a couple of those guys look at Scott Stapp. Why not?
Yeah. No, Assassin's Creed 2 is the good one. It's the one where you're in Renaissance Florence and you get to make friends with Leonardo with the de' Medici family. And Lorenzo de' Medici becomes your friend. And Leonardo da Vinci makes you stuff.
Yeah.
And maybe kind of has a crush on you, depending on how you interpret things.
And you go around killing a lot of people.
Yes, and you stab a lot of people, and you get to ride on a horsey through the beautiful Tuscan countryside.
Stabbing people?
Sometimes you get to do both of those things at the same time.
I like to play a game called Assassin's Cream, where you make awesome desserts that kill people while listening to the music of Eric Clapton.
God, I thought you were going someplace else.
That's Cake Boss, and it's on the Wii U.
Oh.
Is it really Cake Boss on the Wii U?
I think that there might as well be.
It's a
Cookie
Mama spinoff, probably.
There might as well be. I don't think there's anything else on
there
that system.
Wasn't there a Project Runway game for the Wii? Don't I recall correctly that there was one of those?
Wait.
For the original Wii, yeah.
Yeah.
I've got it.
You got it. Yeah, baby, you got it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've got it. And I'm putting a salve on it. No, the Project Runway game, it's basically, it's like the show, except they're doing the catwalk thing on an actual runway, and you try to land planes on top of them.
During a fashion show?
Yeah. So it's kind of like that plus River Raid.
All right.
Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah. All right.
I still got my River Raid patch, bitches. I do.
Oh, and you know who does the soundtrack?
To River Raid?
No, the Project Runway game you're talking about.
Who?
Seal.
That's just mean.
But it's the Project Runway game remix, Kim, where it's Kiss from a Rose and then it's overpowered by jet engines.
Oh.
You know you want it. Hey, yeah, and baby, Kim, in the bonus round, you're on the ground and you're sucking supermodels through your engines. It's great.
You know, so many of the sentences
which could all be scored by
I liked it until you said through engines.
Really go a very different place than you think they're going to.
Well, you know, I'd like to be unexpected.
Obviously.
Yes.
So Nazis.
So recommendations, we should do them.
Or those.
Yeah, we probably should. We're hurtling towards recommendations, so.
Because I still want to play some Mass Effect before I go to bed tonight, y'all. We got to wrap this up.
I don't want to do that shit.
She's got you know, bigger breasts to deal with.
Well, not till part two.
What?
I just became a Spectre and got my own ship. I have to explore the stars.
Wait, you're Jim Corrigan?
Yes.
Thank you, Tuffley. Or whatever they did with the character, I don't know. There you go, Ryan Reynolds. You can play the Spectre. Anyway. Yes, that's right.
Pause that refreshes every 15 minutes. And we can...
It's getting more obscure by the minute. Anyway. All right, so recommendations. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. Me.
Go, Kim!
Because she has a game to play.
Yeah. I have a couple of things to recommend. The first thing I have to recommend, some of you may be familiar with, is called Cabin Pressure. And it was a radio sitcom. And you can get it from, I got it off iTunes. I think there's various other downloadable places you can get it. And it's really funny. It's set in a kind of ramshackle charter airline, which only has one plane. The reason that I became aware of it is that Benedict Cumberbatch plays the pilot of the plane. But anyway, it's really, really funny. And it's just, it's utterly delightful and really funny and really enjoyable. Even if you're not enjoying it because Benedict Cumberbatch is talking, you're enjoying it because it's really funny and enjoyable.
So it's a BBC.
What's wrong with Benedict Cumberbatch talking?
Nothing whatsoever. I'm saying even if that's not your primary motivation for watching it, even if you're somehow indifferent to the wonders of Benedict Cumberbatch's voice,
I see.
You will still enjoy it because it's well written and well acted and funny.
So Kim, would you recommend watching this with the sound off with your alternate self?
Well, it's not watching, it's a radio thing. It's radio. Audio only.
Oh, so if you turn the sound off, it would just be like you were with your alternate self.
There would be nothing going on if you turn the sound off. It's just sound.
It's a BBC version of Wings.
Which the pictures are in your mind.
Yes,
I've already
they
got
are.
The pictures in my mind. And the windmills.
Check it out. It's really funny. They start off, I think, the first episode playing a game called Brian's of Britain. And it just gets better from there. So that's the first one. I downloaded it from iTunes. I'm sure there's various other ways. Although on iTunes, it's weird because the first series is listed as an album and the second series is listed as an audiobook. So you may have to kind of search around to find them. But it's called Cabin Pressure. And I think there have been three series to date. And it's just really great. It's great if you're like going on a car trip because you can listen to it in the car and it helps you to stay awake because you're laughing and listening to Benedict Cumberbatch. It's just all good. So that's the first thing. And then the next thing I have to recommend is if you have played Mass Effect, which you should have because you followed all of my previous recommendations for Mass Effects 1, 2, and 3, I recently played through the various DLCs that have been released for the third Mass Effect game, which is Leviathan, Omega, and Citadel. And they're all fantastic, but especially Citadel is really, really good. But I would recommend getting them all and playing them all because I feel like they all add something substantial to the game. But Citadel is probably the most fun because it's basically BioWare saying, so that whole thing with the ending, sorry about that, here, have this as an apology. Because it's all of your squad members from all of the three games, any of them that are alive when you play it will come and join you. and you can have a mission with them, and they all just kind of are snarky with each other, and there's inside jokes and callbacks to other stuff in the series. And then you get to host a big party where everybody gets drunk and like dances on the tables and makes fun of you, and it's awesome. The only downside about that is once you've played it, it's so much fun, you don't want to go back to the rest of the game where you're having to slog through a horrible war. So, you know, take that for what it is. But it's so much fun. Like, you get to go play in the arcade, and there's a casino, and you can go gamble, and you get to shoot up a sushi restaurant, and you have a party, and a Krogan gets drunk and passes out in your shower. It's really fantastic.
Is that it?
So you should get those. They're really good.
Does it pick up at the end of the war, or does it kind of pick up somewhere?
You can play it almost whenever, like after you're at the Citadel. Basically, you get it's one of those things where you get an email saying, hey, you know, bring the Normandy in to get some repairs and take a weekend of shore leave. And so the whole thing is basically your weekend of shore leave. There's actually a plot and combat and stuff that you can play through. That you go through. And then after that is the part where you get to kind of kick it in your new luxury apartment and, you know, go to the arcade and have a party and stuff. And you get your house and you can change the furniture in your house. It's really cool.
I like that. She does like the changing of things.
I like having a house, okay? And like being able to change my furniture. It's cool, man. Also, that is one sweet ass digital apartment. I would totally live in that apartment for real if it was real. I mean, apart from the fact where it's on the Citadel and I know the Reapers are going to come invade and turn everybody into slush zombies. Spoilers. But, you know, apart from that. Oh, it came out like a year ago. Everybody knows by now.
Yeah, I totally knew, Kim.
If you were going to play or cared, you'd know. But, although Kim, you should, because care. Mass Effect is the best game ever.
I do care.
I love it a whole lot.
I care a lot, like the song says.
I know you do.
What about killer bees? Do you care about those?
The comedian?
You get points for that, John.
The Saturday Night Live sketch?
I think he was calling back a song lyric.
He knows what I was doing. He very well knows what I was doing.
I know what he was doing.
Oh, I
care about that, too.
So yeah, those things are good. You should buy them.
Through. Oh, you can't do that.
Also, whenever Much Ado About Nothing comes out, you should buy it on DVD 20 times. And you should go see Pacific Rim a whole lot because it's wonderful.
And because it's leaving theaters.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's leaving theaters.
I can't believe this is the end of leaving theaters.
It's Dolby 3D because it's better.
But you can pre-order it on DVD.
Yeah, that would be, honestly, that would be a reason if you don't already have Blu-ray to get fucking Blu-ray. So I hope it looks amazing. It looked amazing in IMAX. So, but it hasn't opened in Japan yet. So it'll probably play in Japan for like 2 years.
Really? How is it? It hasn't opened up in Japan yet.
Because they were like, this is the final stretch. These are the people that can save us.
Oh my, you'd think, well, okay.
Yeah, Japan and China, it hasn't opened yet.
I know, but you'd think they would have jumped on that.
Well, there, considering that, judging from anime, everything in the world in Japan has to be about giant robots.
I know.
Although,
or Godzilla's, or both, but this is both at the same time.
It's reminiscent of Gigantor.
It's Sky Captain 2 is what it is. Yeah. And I cry.
I saw it twice. 3D. I paid for 3D twice.
Yeah, to be fair, I went to see it in IMAX 3D, so I might as well have seen it three times normally.
Yes. The only other thing I've seen that, well, okay, I've seen three movies that many times, and I'm sure you all know what they were. This has been a year with a lot of movies I wanted to see a lot. It was Iron Man. It was Iron Man and Much Ado About Nothing in this one. Which, interestingly, those are all kind of different from each other. But they were all really good, and I loved them.
That's good.
Yes, well,
I like the large explosions in Much Ado About Nothing. I appreciated that. The sequence with the robots, love that.
Yeah.
I will say this, though. I have not seen Iron Man 3 multiple times, but I have watched Avengers an unhealthy amount of times.
Uh-huh.
I can't wait for the new Cat movie. I'm really, really excited about it. I hope it's as good as I dream.
Well, now you read about the elevator scene, right?
No, I am unspoiled.
Oh, do you want me to? I don't know anything about it. I heard a description of the footage they showed at
Comic-Con. Kim wants to remain unsullied.
Is it? I mean,
no. It's basically, he's in an elevator, and these people start getting on, and then more people get on, and more people get on, and the atmosphere in the elevator is basically okay. They're all on this elevator to try to kill me, and so uh-huh. Cap goes. Before we get started, does anybody want to get off? And there's a fight in an elevator, like a cramped elevator space, where all these guys take on Captain America. And the description made it sound like, holy shit, I would go see this movie just to see this fight sequence.
That sounds great. And I hear that it's got a heavy Black Widow presence. I hear that Natasha is very important to it, too.
Well,
makes sense, because it's the Winter Soldier movie. But still, I'm really excited about that.
And you've got Falcon, and you've got S.H.I.E.L.D., and
the Falcon concept art looks really cool.
Please, please make this good. Please.
I know. I really want it to be good.
Please.
The Thor movie, too. If the Thor movie is as good as the first one, I'll be happy, because I thought the first one was a lot of fun.
I thought it was good. I think I mentioned this before. The weakest for me were Iron Man 2 and Thor. And I.
What about the Incredible Hulk movie? It was so boring.
But see, here's the problem. If that Incredible Hulk movie had been, if that had been the first Hulk movie, we would have been fine. It was the fact it was crawling out of the hole that previous Hulk movies had left.
I haven't seen any other Hulk movies. That's the only one I've ever seen.
Well, then you're doing a lot better than most people.
I just thought it was kind of boring. Like, I tend to forget about it unless I'm actively trying to recall it. Nothing from it really stuck out for me.
I enjoyed it. But again, I was probably just so happy to see it. That being said, as much as I liked the Edward Norton banner, I would love to see a Ruffalo Hulk movie. That would be great.
I really like him.
Yeah.
Also, I don't think I've been on to talk about it, but did you guys see Now You See Me?
I did, yes.
I really enjoyed that. I thought it was a lot of fun.
It was fun. It was just it was a caper movie with magicians. And
it was exactly it, and it was just a lot of fun.
And may I say, two scenes in which Morgan Freeman and Michael Caine face off.
Indeed.
What more do you want from a film? Honestly.
I know, right?
Seriously. So Kim, does that take care of your recommendation?
I'll probably think of something else later, but for now, yeah.
Okay, cool. All right. Thank you, Kim. Who's next?
I'll go.
Go, Toughly.
All right. So this weekend, or this week, back in 1981, this thing called MTV launched. So I got a couple of books. The first one is written by the VJs. It's called The Unplugged Adventures of MTV's First Wave. So it's basically their reflections on their time at MTV, which I thought was pretty fun. And the other book I was going to recommend is I Want My MTV, the uncensored story of the music video revolution. It's by Rob Tenenbaum. And this one goes a little bit further, because the VJ book only deals with, I think, up to 86, 87, when they were all still employed with the network. This kind of goes through and kind of pinpoints the death of videos around to the beginning of the real world. So it's like 92-ish. There's a lot of neat inside stuff there. So I'll recommend those two, and we can weep for what used to be. And I will also recommend Portlandia Season 3, which is now out on DVD, which – It's Portlandia, so it's pretty awesome. It's the full season and the winter special that's on the thing. And I think it's one disc if it's Blu-ray. I think it's a two disc set if it's DVD. So you can get that. And as I mentioned before, but I don't know the release date on this yet, but Pacific Rim is available for pre-order, and you can grab that. There's a Blu-ray 3D, Blu-ray DVD ultraviolet set, and the DVD two disc version. That's available for pre-order now. So you can grab that. And I'm done.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Tuffley. All right, Rox, what you got?
Okay, not much.
So, Tasha, a couple years ago, came out with a really cool book I put on my wish list forever. It's the Magic Book from 1400s to 1950s. All about magic, stage magic, cool reproductions of posters and stuff. Well, they've now come out with a cheaper version, and it runs about like $40 to $50. So going from the $300 tome of magic, you can actually get a decent size one of the Big Book of Vintage Magic. And again, this really cool. It covers, like Thurston, Carter, you know, Houdini, of course. It is an amazing, I mean, the posters alone are, you know, if you're a fan of stage magic, the posters are amazing. And they also show, photographs of some of the stage stuff and some of the contraptions, you know, of escape artistry and stuff. So, if you like that, get this. It's, you know, I've just ordered mine because, I coveted the $300 one, but I'm like, I'll hold off on that. I'm reading, back in, what was it, April? A little book called The Cuckoo's Calling came out. A small little, you know, mystery book by a certain Robert Galbraith. And turns out it's J.K. Rowling. Interesting book. Somebody just posted some similarities that she had with some of the Harry Potter stuff. It's kind of interesting. Apparently, when it came out, she just wanted to see how she would do, I guess. And unfortunately, she got outed by her, you know, solicitor's firm. Somebody in the law firm told his wife that, oh, hey, yeah, she wrote this book strictly on the QT, that quiet side type of thing. And this person twittered that, yeah, J.K. Rowling wrote this book. And now, you know, you can't keep this book off the shelves.
And now she has a new solicitor.
Yeah, yeah, she is not
happy. She was suing
happy.
The old solicitor.
She is not happy.
Why would you, you've got that as a client. Why? Oh, somebody's
I don't
dead.
Know. I mean, the thing is we've seen Stephen King wanted to do different stuff, you know, with sort of like Dolores Claiborne or, you know, the Richard Bachman books and stuff. You know, she just wanted to try this out. It got a really good review when it came out. And so, I'm actually reading it because it's like, I'm trying to get Dragon Con stuff done. So I don't really have a lot to, you know, recommend. Kim, actually, the funny thing is the way she writes her mystery. And here's the cool part. On Science Friday last week, they actually had a guy on who actually worked on, the algorithm software that somebody's like, oh, we're not really, you know, before she said, yes, this is me, they ran it through a software algorithm that actually matched up with the way she writes.
Oh yeah. Like forensic analysis.
Yeah. So they had the guy on that run the test and stuff. Anyway, the funny thing is though, Kim, do you read Jasper Ford?
I did when I first came out. I haven't read the
All more right. Recently. Did you ever, oh, okay. Did you ever read any of the, nursery crime books?
No, I haven't read any of those.
Those are great. You got to read those. But anyway, she's got a sort of a light touch, you know, when it comes to doing, a mystery, you know, hard boiled crime detective. It's kind of light in that respect. But it's enjoyable. Two main protagonists is, you know, Cormoran Strike and a girl named Robin, who's a, you know, Girl Friday. So it's, you know, runs along the same, you know, a light fare of like a Dashiell Hammett type story. So not bad, not bad. I did, you know, the funny thing is I know that the casual vacancy didn't, you know, people weren't really sure about that, but if you wanted to know really about what she feels about muggles, that is the book to get because she really knows how to write dialogue for
different class systems in England. And I was really amazed, and I was really happy to see on how well she wrote, because writing dialogue is very difficult. Mm-hmm. And writing dialogue for, you know, people who are educated and people who are not, that is really difficult. And to keep pulling, you know, and to pull that off. And it's very British. That story is very, you know, so I think a lot of Americans are like, I don't really understand this, you know, so, but it's a fairly decent little read. So, that's my recommendation. And I'm going to recommend Jetpacks too. Dragon Con's coming.
Cool. Thank you, Rox.
Yep.
All right, John, what have you got?
Disney's Infinity, and buy all the characters through needcoffee.com/Amazon, and keep the site going. That's all.
Yay!
Hooray! Okay, cool. Yes, John is absolutely correct. Needcoffee.com/Amazon. You're gonna buy it anyway. You're gonna shop at Amazon anyway. Because the people who listen to this podcast and come to this website have better things to do than run around and actually go to brick and mortar stores. Sorry, brick and mortar stores, but that's just the way it goes.
Amazon Prime.
Plus, Amazon's hiring. They're getting lots of jobs.
And by the way, you're absolutely right, Kim. Thanks for the nod on that. I need to put a link because they've just now introduced a thing where if you get people to sign up for Amazon Prime, you get kickbacks for that. And sweet. And as you know, if you've been listening to this, I've been touting Amazon Prime long before this. It will fucking save your, the first time it saves your ass on somebody's birthday, you forgot. It's worth it. So.
I like it. You order something and then you forgot you ordered it, and then it comes the next day and it's like a mysterious present from your alternate self.
And then you're so happy you want to have sex with them. Never mind. So anyway, my recommendations, a couple quick things. First, they have just recently released, Shout Factory has put out 18 episodes of the Jack Benny Show, which I know. This is like, I think this is like the first official non-public domain DVD release ever. And these apparently are episodes that have not been seen since they were originally broadcast. So it's just, Jack Benny, if you don't know, fucking hilarious. We've posted Jack Benny before on the site, but go to YouTube and watch some Jack Benny. If you want to ease into it, search for Jack Benny Mel Blanc and watch them working together. It's fucking hilarious. Just genius stuff. And a lot of his radio shows are great as well. The Halloween and Christmas shows are just classic. So that is really exciting and awesome. Also, I know this is an album from 2011, and I know Tuffley was listening to it, therefore, in 2010, but I just discovered Johnny Foreigner, and the album is called, Johnny Foreigner Versus Everything, which is a great title, and what clued me into the fact that I was probably going to enjoy this was the opening track is called If I'm the Most Famous Boy You've Fucked, Then Honey, You're in Trouble.
Oh shit.
Yeah, it's a fun little rock album with 17 tracks. Although the vinyl extended edition, which is available on Spotify, has a bunch more tracks. So, I don't know. I enjoyed it. Sometimes you just want some solid indie rock from the UK. Sometimes you do. So, check that out. Johnny Foreigner. That's it. That's all I got. I too have been buried up to my nose in stuff. What is happening?
Nose.
Kim, are you all right?
Yes. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Somebody's visiting her. I think it's her future self.
I'm fine.
She's trying to keep her composure. So, okay. Well, on that particular bombshell of Kim moving that piano around her room, I think we've reached the end of another Weekend Justice. I can see the signpost up ahead. So therefore it's about that time. And, I think, you know, we should take a moment, just like we do every week. We take that glorious magic moment where we look back over the wasteland that is the last 3 hours and we just murmur to ourselves, Nazi potato chips.
I thought it was going to be Kim's breasts.
It was shepherd's breasts.
Or Nazi's breasts.
No, no, that wasn't it.
I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. Did they find Nazis in Kim's breasts?
No.
Definitely, no.
That did not happen. Regardless of what everyone tells you, it didn't happen.
So are they like Pringles all stacked?
Hey.
Wow. Wow. But the difference is you can't use the container they came in to help your Wi-Fi signal. True fact.
It is true.
Yep.
So Hawkeye and Young Avengers have both been really good lately. There was the whole one that was from the point of view of Lucky the Pizza Dog. That was amazing.
So John?
Oh my God, there should be a mashup. Hawkeye and Axe Cop. Let's leave it at that.
No, wait. Did you watch Axe Cop?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good.
So John?
Nick Offerman is awesome. Yes.
There's going to be an episode one day when Kim is going to get on here frothing at the mouth. Marvel will have broken her heart, and we can just play back for her the times where we said, just enjoy it. Enjoy the time that you have now.
Enjoy Hawkeye. Enjoy Captain Hawkeye Marvel.
While he's there for you. Know that those trade paperbacks will always be there for you, even in your hour of trial and tribulation.
Why do you have to be so mean?
No, Kim, I'm just saying, I wish someone had said to me, look, enjoy this.
His future self had come back to his past self.
Take it in both hands and just enjoy the X-Men while they're there.
Oh, he wasn't talking about the X-Men, though, taking both hands.
The new X-Men,
my ass is really wide.
The new X-Men that's all ladies is pretty good.
Yeah, see how it's starting to go down, Widge, already? It's pretty good. It's all right. It's okay.
Well, that's not one of the ones I love.
And the next thing you know,
good.
Next thing you know, you've been buying Green Lantern for 3 years going, it'll get better! It'll get better!
No, I don't buy that DC shit.
I know, but yeah, I'm just saying.
Oh, you do the same thing with Marvel, trust me. What was it with me with Marvel? It was, I want to say it was X Factor. Although it really wasn't good to begin with.
Really?
So, you know, there is that.
But you wanted it to be good because the idea was so awesome.
Kept buying it.
Now, here's the question. Did you come into X Factor when Peter David started writing it? Or did you just miss Peter David and didn't realize it for a couple of issues?
Oh, it was 92, so I don't know.
Wow,
exactly.
I came on board with issue one.
Well, there you go.
But the very fact that there was a comic book with a character named Strong Guy in it, I was...
Yeah.
That was good for at least five issues. But anyway, that's all I'm trying to do, Kim. I'm trying to tell you to carpe diem. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I'm carpeing all of the trade paperbacks.
Excellent.
They're beautiful.
I'm sure Dint could translate that. Carpe trade something.
Carpe trade.
I don't know.
All right. We should all go run away. And I need to pee.
Run away. I've got to go back to the Citadel.
Kim, enjoy your breasts.
Yeah, okay. Kim.
Don't let
Are
me
you
not
talking
get
about up. My personal ones or the ones of my alternate universe self?
Yes.
Kim, take it any you want.
Okay, then.
And I mean that multiple ways. Give me just a minute while I clarify.
Hi there. Many of you know me as the half-assed engineer John on Need Coffee's Weekend Justice podcast. But what most of you don't know is that before I was internationally known by tens of people, I was a patient at the Sleep Deprivation Institute, known as NeedCoffee.com. NeedCoffee.com has provided me and many of you with hundreds of hours of therapy through engaging rants, dreamcasts, reviews, contests, news of the offbeat and cool, and of course, more information about caffeine than was really necessary. Why, without Need Coffee, I might have actually seen Starship Troopers 4 bugging out. Thank you, Need Coffee, for saving me from that fate. Now, all this goodness does come at a cost, so the fine folks at Need Coffee are asking for your help. Please head over to needcoffee.com/memberships to learn what you can do to keep this invaluable resource alive. Your contribution not only will allow for more great content and more chances to win free shit, but it might just save a kitten. So as you sit there, listening to this podcast, this free podcast, sipping on your $8 Café de Frou-Frou, think about what you could have done with that money instead. Sure, you could have donated to some worthy cause, or you could keep Need Coffee and kittens alive. Your choice. Visit needcoffee.com/memberships for more details. Oh, crap. Did I record that?
And here's Dakota.
And that bombshell.
See you in a minute, sweetie.
What?
She's talking about the game.
Oh, it can't get better.
No comment.
Can we go?